Hello, fellow homebrewers. JP here, and I want to introduce to you the brand new Brew-Built X1 Conical Series available at More Beer. More Beer sells the highest standard in homebrewing equipment, and the Brew-Built Conicals are just that. They're made from mirror-polished 304 stainless steel, and they come with loads of features that you and I have been looking for. They have a full 2-inch bottom dump valve, which will eliminate your clogging issues, while the sturdy base includes 4 reinforced legs, just like those big pro tanks do. More Beer also carries the Brew-Built line of options and add-ons like casters, pressure kits, and even external glycol chillers. So you can find out more about the new Brew-Built X1 conical uni tanks by going over to morebeer.com for detailed videos on the entire line of Brew-Built conicals. You can trust Brew-Built with your next fermentation, and you can trust More Beer to find the right conical for you. Brew-Built at morebeer.com.
Home brewers, craft brewers, beer lovers, beer drinkers,
get ready for an all-new experience in information exchange and beer culture.
Your only source for live beer radio that brings expert brewers from around the globe
right to your home.
You're not just listening to broadcasters, it's the Brewcasters
on the Brewing Network.
Yes, sir.
Wow, you are hot.
Yeah, I am. That's all right. The compressor catches all that. Welcome, boys and girls. It's another good Sunday at the Brewing Network. Chicken Boy's here. Chicken Boy. What a great forum post that was, huh?
Yeah, it was good.
I gotta get new names for you every week.
I'm a jackass.
Johnny 5-0. Johnny Fitty Gallon, Fitty G, and now the best, my favorite so far, Chicken Boy. That's really good stuff. With us in the studio today, and man, do we have a great show going on today. I'm excited about it. We're going to get some good information out to you. We got Jim Rossi in the studio with us, a guy we've been trying to get in here for a little while. Schedules have been going awry, plus he was sick 1 week, and then we bailed on him the next week. But finally got the gym man in here. Jim Golden Palate Rossi is in the studio with us today, and he's another award-winning homebrewer who's going to be giving us a lot of good information. Started winning his awards with an extract brewing process, and now does the same thing with all grain. Mm-hmm. So we're going to get the best of both worlds out of this guy. Say hello to the folks at home, Jim.
How's it going out there?
Let's see, what we got here? Cal State Fair Gold Medal for your double IPA. Alameda County Fair Gold Medal, Best of Show IPA. Contra Costa County Fair Gold Medal, Best of Show. Fifth year in a row for your IPA?
That's a small competition.
Holy cow. Cal State Homebrew Competition Gold Medal Pale Ale. Nevada County Fair Gold Medal and Best of Show double IPA. You brought some of this stuff, I hope.
All of it, absolutely.
Attaboy. What else? Amador County Fair, Gold Medal, Pale Ale. Silver Dollar Fair, that's the Sierra Nevada one, Gold Medal for Pale Ale. World Cup of Beer, Gold Medal, IPA. Holy cow. The list goes on, too. That's Jim Rossi. He's going to be hanging out with us all day today and talking about some good stuff in his brew process. I'm excited to drink some of that beer, man.
Let's break it out.
Might as well start now, right?
It's been a long day. I'm ready.
All right, good. And we got, of course, Jameel's in the studio with us today. Isn't that a great little surprise? He surprised us here at the last minute.
Yeah.
Came in. We need him for a segment we're doing later for this keg giveaway. I'm not going to tell you what it is yet because I don't want you guys going out and getting prepared early. But our four finalists for the Northern Brewer kegging system are going to compete a little later in the show. And we brought Jameel in. He was kind enough to come spend a Sunday with us again to help you win a full kegging system. Thanks, Jameel.
Freaking out.
Dr. Scott's missing. He called in late. So we've decided that Jameel's going to be actually Dr. Scott for a little while. So even looks like him with the face. Got
look how he's slouching back in his chair.
It's the thing about Doc, too. He doesn't just slur. His lips actually look like they're slurring. They kind of hang off of his face sometimes when he's doing it.
A little rocky going on.
Absolutely. So good stuff going on for you today. That competition is going to happen right about 6:45, maybe a little bit earlier. So we're going to need our four finalists to hang out in the chat room with us there, and you're also going to need to call in. We're going to need each one of you to call in later on in the show around 6:45. I'll let you know the rules as we get a little closer to that. So hang in there. I want to say thanks to everybody who went out and bought shirts this week, because we sold out, I think 2 days ago. We sold out on Friday. All it took was a little pissing and moaning out of me on last
Sunday's
show. You're
good at that, too, by the way.
And I even got comments, like emails. They were like, all right, I bought a shirt, you sissy. Now shut up.
You deserve it.
Yeah. So I was real happy to see that, and now we can get to work on some other merch. Lots of questions about that been coming through. We are working on ladies' shirts for you guys, so hang in there for that. We'll be
ladies' making some shirts for you guys.
Yeah, for you guys. It's all the guys asking me for them.
Freudian slip there.
I've not gotten any emails from women asking me for ladies' shirts. It's kind of weird, isn't it? In fact, all the guys are asking for thongs, too.
I know, and Gucci's leading that topic,
actually. You know what I said to him, though? I think that that's weird, because I was like, I don't know why you want to be thinking about us when you're looking at your lady in a thong. That's just a little disturbing to me.
That's wrong.
Like that guy who is, like, our archive just popped on when he was getting busy with his old lady. He's got my voice in the background. He's about to do his business.
That's great.
God, can you imagine? That turns me off. That's a horrible thing to have happen. But, hey, you want the thongs? We'll get the thongs.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Should they be embroidered thong? Is that like a silk screen process? I wonder if embroidery would be a little itchy.
They got soft skin, so.
Yeah, probably have to do the silk screen.
Yeah.
Danielle, you can't have embroidered thongs, huh?
I knew what that was.
It's the stitching, where they actually stitch the logo in instead of just ink it.
You can have it.
Yeah, it's not.
There's nothing wrong with that.
It's not itchy, then?
Mm-mm.
You don't want hot girls in thongs walking around scratching their butt.
Yeah, you do.
No. You can have it on the back, but you're going to have it on the front.
Yeah, you don't want them scratching that either.
You guys do it all the time, don't you?
Yeah, it's different, though.
Oh, gotcha.
It's completely different. So, just thanks again to everybody for going out and buying those shirts. That was a cool thing to do. Mm-hmm. Chicken boy.
That's awesome. That is his name now. Chicken boy.
K2's coming at you. Look out.
Changed your theme music this week, John.
Oh, Jay.
You know what this is from, right?
I know it. It's the chicken dance.
Yeah. This isn't even me. I'm not taking credit for this. Our listeners forced me to change this to be your theme song.
Who sent it to you?
I went and got it myself. Just the suggestions were sent.
You get a special verse, my friend. You are no one. Oh, that's great.
Good old chicken boy.
Farm brewer, you're mine too, buddy.
That's funny stuff in the chat room, man. In the forum, rather. I really like that stuff.
That's funny.
Oh, my God.
You've got mail.
Kick ass.
Feedback this week, and by the way, we're going to skip the news, just letting you guys know early, because we got too much to get to. So, I don't think there was anything that exciting in the news this week anyway. Although Daniela tells me that somebody died on Survivor this week.
And I do not know if it's true or not.
That would really bum me out, because I wanted our show to be the first show to have someone die on it.
But, I would imagine if it really happened, you guys would have heard about it too. I heard it on the radio this morning on Wednesday or so, that somebody died on Survivor.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, they put those guys and girls through a pretty grueling process.
And I thought it was all fake, actually, but if somebody dies, it's not fake anymore.
I think it's cool, though. I'm just saying, imagine the ratings. I've always said that about our
Absolutely.
Show. And I'm really going to be bummed if someone died on their show and not ours.
I'm going to fake my death.
Although, we would still be the first radio show to have someone die, if we can pull that off.
Okay.
So just remember, folks out there, if you're about to die, give us a call if it happens to be during the show. And you could help out the Brewing Network gain some ratings. All right. Anonymous Jameel strikes again this week with another email. And we've got the real Jameel in the studio here, so
he's got to be the one.
He's got to meet face-to-face here, the anonymous Jameel email.
Look, he's just laughing, too.
I love these things. Here we go. Of course, it begins, Justin, you no-talent hack.
I tried
listening to the Limp Meat show on Friday, but what was that? Wasn't that show supposed to be entertaining? It's just more of the same dipshit and ass munch show, stumbling over some 6-month-old internet news. For God's sake, at least get Daniela in there to make it interesting instead of that stoner you have working the chat room.
What? Oh.
Poor Natty. Natty does a good job in the chat room.
Wow. He really does.
On Sunday, it was no surprise to me that Beer Pal proved he has a big sack of guys' nuts. He kicked ass on all you guys during the Sunday's Jeopardy, even though you and your butt buddy, Gay P, tried to cheat. It isn't that the guests know everything, it's that you idiots don't know anything. I don't try to cheat, I just sort of set it up because John's got a handicap in Beer Jeopardy. So I just sort of try to help him. I don't give him the answers, I just give him like a whole category that he might be able to answer. He still can't. And what the F up is up with a Corona tasting? What retard is choosing the beers? You hack on Budweiser and think Corona is worth tasting? You guys really don't know shit about beer. And what insightful comments you had. Oh, I love it because it tastes like jizz. And oh, can I have a lime with mine? And oh, it tastes like chicken.
You wrote this.
I'm telling you, I am not Anonymous Jamil.
Yeah, you are.
He does not. I would know about it. And he would never give me so many compliments. And it's not him.
Yeah, hey, I picked the Corona, by the way, so if you want to. You know.
And speaking of chicken, where does Chicken Boy get off rapping about how he makes people's beer better? I didn't see his feathered ass around here when I was going in. Doesn't he realize he just sits there and asks stupid questions like, how come water is wet? His freaking ego has gotten huge. You know the difference between John and God? God doesn't think he brews better beer than Jamil. I think it is time for Doc to bitch slap him again. Wow.
Wow, K to you, man.
And what is this about you wanting me to reveal myself? I wondered why you were crawling around under the console last week. You just won't take no for an answer when it comes to looking at another guy's package, you sick bastard. Here's a new slogan for the Brewing Network. All the worthless, stupid, gay crap you could want. Lovingly, Pope Jamil.
That dude is funny.
I did ask him to reveal himself, because we want to do a competition where we like, guess who Anonymous Jamil is, you know? But I don't know, it's too fun. I think we got to keep it going with him letting, you know, sending in.
Maybe he's calling in right now.
You think so?
I hope it'd
be cool if he calls in with one of those voice modulators, you know, like you see in the FBI television shows, so you can't tell who it is. Then we get to talk to him also. That'd be nice.
I'd like to tell him I hate him. I think he's an ass.
Well, I guess this week, Anonymous Jamil, just keep it going until it gets old, and then we're gonna have to do a competition where we figure out who it is. We all have to guess. Oz sent me a guess, so either he's trying to throw a curve in there and make us think it's not him, or it really isn't him, because he sent us a guess of who he thinks it is. Okay, another one I got, a couple of good feedbacks and some questions here. It starts, hey, guy. What's up with the guy thing? You know when people call you guy or boss or chief? I just never get into that thing. It's weird to me, you know what
I'm saying?
Big guy. Yeah. Hey, guy, how are you? Yeah, I'm fine, chief. How's it going, pal? You know? I just don't know what it just when you refer to someone as guy and chief. Coach. Coach is one of my favorite. Good job, coach.
Coach.
All right. Anyway, he says, I think he said a lot of things, but I sort of narrowed it down to, I think you should have a show addressing some of the great controversies of homebrewing. The two biggest that I can think of are glass versus plastic and batch sparge versus normal sparge. Oh. I would look to see about booking Denny Kahn, famous batch sparger.
Nice.
And proponent of plastic. Now, here's what I have to say to that. I think it would not be a bad idea at all to have that sort of discussion on the show, although we've tried it in short form before, and we don't get a lot of response from people. You know, like, they'll go crazy in the forum about what they think, plastic versus glass, but when we do it on the show and we say, let's take some calls, nobody calls.
Yeah.
So, I just don't know if it's going to work out. And we have done the batch sparge versus fly sparge, haven't we?
Vaguely.
Yeah. Yeah. I just don't know if it's an entire show material.
No, it's a spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right. And then let's see. The last email is, hey, everybody, how's it going? I was listening to the archive of Super Bowl Sunday's broadcast, and man, talk about disappointing. All the stuff you guys give away, and I'm unable to listen live. I have two little kids, and I'm always helping the wife get them ready for bed, helping with homework, baths, etc. I live in the Midwest, so I'm a couple hours ahead of you, so my time is with the family. Needless to say, I don't listen live. While I did catch your first broadcast live. That's a trooper, if he's still listening after that first broadcast.
Yeah.
But anyway, is there any way for non-live listeners to get some cool free stuff? like a firm wrap, a t-shirt, all that stuff you guys are giving away. Anyway, enough of me whining. Time to drink more beer and shut up. Take care and keep up the good work. Alan. Alan, yes, absolutely. Those of you who can only listen during the archives, you know, download it and listen on your own time, should be eligible to win things. It's a little more difficult to figure out how to do that in a fair way. So give me a little time. Let me try to be creative here for 5 minutes, which takes a lot out of me, and I'll get back to you about that. But we absolutely, like I had said earlier in the year, John's got some great giveaways lined up for the whole year, and we're going to try to make them available to everybody, not just the live listeners. Like I've said before, some of the things are sponsored, and we have to do it a certain way. But definitely we will be working on giving stuff to you archive listeners and podcast listeners as well, because we appreciate you just as much as anybody else. Love the email and the feedback you give us and want to give stuff to you too. Mm-hmm. So hang in there. We'll get stuff to you.
Even Jamil the Pope could qualify.
That's right. Yeah, he listens.
I'm sure he
does. Listens close. Anonymous
close.
Jamil.
Yeah.
And that's that.
That makes me nervous.
Okay. I got Dogger Dan on the phone here and wants to promote something. I had mentioned it a while ago. It's a worldwide, I think, pub crawl that's going on a certain date. Let's get Dogger on here to talk about that to you. You there, buddy?
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Doing real good. How's it going, Dogger?
Excellent.
Yeah, you got a bad connection. Are you on a cell phone, man?
No, I'm just sort of a landline.
Okay. But you're on a portable phone then?
Yeah.
All right. Get close to your receiver there for me if you could. Okay, just because you're breaking up. So tell us about it is an international pub crawl, right?
Well, yeah, it is. It is. It's an outfit down in Australia called Pistaz.
Okay.
And they do this pub crawl every year.
All right.
And all you need to do, it's kind of a pretty good cause, actually. It doesn't do anything for anyone, and it doesn't hurt anyone either. And you just pick a few places that you want to go have a couple of drinks on the day of the event, and you write into them and say, this is where we're going to go. And then on the day of the event, you go.
All right. So they really just kind of list and announce where everybody's going?
That's pretty much it.
Okay.
And,
all right. It sounds like a good, like maybe like a good club event, because you got to be able to get some people organized to do it.
Pretty much.
All right. So if you got a homebrew club or something, maybe you guys want to set up something like this. Pick a few places in your local area. And then where do you go to notify the event of it?
This year it's going to be the 27th of May.
Okay.
Right, which I'm thinking is holiday weekend for you guys.
Yeah, that's our Memorial Day weekend, I think.
Yeah, exactly. But if you want to put your names in and put your locations in, it's www.geocities.com.
Okay.
/pistas, which is PYSSEDAS.
All right.
/crawl.
All right.
And that will sit down and get you there.
All right. It's GeoSites, right? GeoCities?
Cities, yeah.
GeoCities/pistas/...
GeoCities.com.
Yeah, .com/pistas/crawl.
Yeah.
You get that, Daniela? Can you type that in the chat room? No.
Well, I can put it on there as well. I'm in the
Oh, sweet. Type that in there for us so all the chatters can get it. If you're not in the chat room yet, just hit the chat now button right on your main page and join us over there. Okay, cool. Yeah, so do that. And, all right, May 27th this year. I'll tell you right now, we're not doing a show that weekend. So, sounds like a good event. You guys can go get yourself drunk and do a little pub crawl.
There you go.
It's a cool idea.
And there's t-shirts involved with it, too.
Oh, okay.
What they did last year is that they put all the names on and a little logo and then send it out, and then you could take it to whomever's going to do your t-shirt work and they'll print it up for you.
Oh, okay. Nice.
So if you were to do a group, so it comes through that way as well.
Okay. So there's no money involved. You don't have to pay to register. You just kind of do it.
Nothing along those lines. It's just a group of people. They're really interested in getting a few people from Antarctica this year.
Oh, that'd be cool. I don't know how many pubs they're going to crawl to out there in Antarctica.
Not sure, but that was the only continent that they didn't get to last year.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I wonder if we have any listeners in Antarctica. I'd like to know. If you're listening in Antarctica, on the archive even, send us an email. And then I'd like to know if you're going to do this pub crawl. I think a pub crawl in Antarctica is like you crawl from the fireplace to your bed.
You probably crawl everywhere.
Yeah. I think that's all you do. And I assume you're doing this up there in Canada, eh, Dogger?
Yeah. We've got a few pubs we go to here. Have a big barbecue in the evening.
Okay.
you know, put the stakes on, and it's pretty good fun.
All right. That sounds good. I'll tell you what. We'll do a reminder when it gets closer to May again.
Perfect. Sounds good.
Okay. And did you post it in the forum yet?
No, not yet. Not yet.
Go ahead and put it in the general beer-related tab for us, if you would.
Okay, sure.
All right. Thanks a lot, Dogger.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. We'll see you, buddy.
Have a good evening.
Cool. That's a cool thing. It's like that Guinness toast that they do. You know, where you just, like, a local bar will support it, and at one time, on a particular day, every bar is supposed to do the Guinness toast, and, of course, with Guinness, it's a big promotional thing, but, you know, you don't have to pay anything, there's nothing involved, so same kind of thing with the pub crawl, except that they're not, there's no, like, group making a bunch of money off of it or anything like Guinness would be. So, cool thing. Yeah, take a look at our forum to keep up to date on that. You gonna do that, John?
Yeah.
So do we need a BN toast?
Yeah, we need the great wide BN toast. Yeah. How the hell are you, Doc? What happened?
Brewing, baby.
Yeah?
Yeah, and it took a little bit longer than I thought. I was going to brew tomorrow, and the wife wanted me to brew today, and I thought, okay, cool, and I thought, oh, damn.
Yeah, yeah.
And so
you didn't fall in the fermenter.
No, I started out at about 7 this morning.
Yeah.
And it was cool till Bob came over about 1 and got me distracted, and then Dan came over about 2, and things slowed down a bit. And
how you feeling, Doc?
I'm good.
Good, good. Okay.
But it was just a little hectic at the end. I know that, you know, that the 4 o'clock hour was coming. I got to get out of here. Got to get out of here. And the recirc's going, and I got the cooler going. And damn, that conical is feeling slow.
Yeah.
So I got everything going and got it set, closed the conical, jumped in the car, and I was on my way over here.
What'd you make?
Yeah.
I did a wit, full adjunct mash, whole gig thing, and it was complicated.
Yeah?
But I think I got good hopes for this one.
The mash was complicated.
Yeah. It was basically almost a decoction mash.
Okay. So how long just the mash did it take?
About 5 hours.
Jeez. What? Wow. A 5-hour mash?
Yeah. Well, by the time I got things heated and bulled up and pulled the other one, it was basically 2 separate mashes.
Okay.
And I had to get the other one up through 2 different rests and then boil it. And by the time I got that one done and then added to the other one, and then I overshot the temperature that I wanted, and I had to throw ice in it and got that down to where I wanted, and then had to rest. So it was quite a few stages.
Guess so.
Was it worth it?
We'll see.
Yeah. And you're getting that ready for the Wit show that you're going to do for Janelle.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll be talking about that a lot, about the Wit show. I gleaned a lot of new things I hadn't heard about before and decided to try them all today.
Cool. Nice.
And just like everybody else, I'm trying to hit that hoe garden thing, just try to nail it.
Got
to
hit the hoe.
I've come close before, but, you know, this has come up with a few secrets that I hadn't tried before.
Yeah.
So a lot of different things thrown in there. We'll be talking about it a lot.
Okay. Well, there you go. Dr. Scott nailing hoes. Good work, my friend.
Yeah.
Speaking of not nailing hoes, but having trouble brewing, so I got this new, I got a new kettle I was talking about on the Friday show. I got a converted keg. It's out back. I'm going to show you guys.
Is it actually converted now?
It's converted.
Excellent.
You believe how fast they got that done for me, John? Over there at B3.
Remember?
I know, but I was told 2 weeks, with a friend on the friend list, it was looking at 2 weeks.
Do you know what took the longest of that?
What's that?
You getting into John's car.
Oh, yeah. And I didn't
I've been
that.
Telling you for that for months.
I just brought it myself.
It was months. I'm telling you. Just put it in John's car. It'll get done.
Well,
and he kept saying how he's got this keg in the back. I got to get it converted.
It's all for naught because I'm having trouble with my burner that you guys are going to have to help me out with afterward here. I almost blew myself up. Let me just say that right
my
now.
My house.
Like the hose from the propane tank to the burner.
Melted?
No, because I blew it out before it melted. but it actually caught fire. And I'm looking at it for like 30 seconds. I'm standing out.
Because it was cool.
Well, I'll tell you what. It's lucky I was even out there at the moment because I had been, I was watching The Sopranos at the moment, so I'm coming back and forth. And I just happened to be standing there and I got my back to it and I hear this. Right? And I turn around, and right where the nozzle connects to my burner, it's on fire. And the rubber's on fire, and everything there is on fire. And it takes me like 3 seconds, and I'm like, Oh, shit. Because I'm trying to figure out, do I run to save myself, or do I get to the propane tank to turn it off? It's a tough call, because if it goes while I'm turning off the tank, I'm done for, right? I could save myself and run the other direction,
no.
But there's going to be a lot of damage.
Save the beer.
Like the whole porch is gone, right? That thing's going to go, Doc. A propane tank?
This place is a rental.
What am I doing? Well, I opted to make my way to the tank. Kind of like throwing yourself on the grenade.
Oh, yeah, throw yourself on the grenade.
And the thing is, I had to run like around the barbecue. It took me a couple seconds. I get there, I crank that sucker off, then I run back and I blow out the fire.
So is that Chance probably talking about you like hiking up your skirt while you're diving for it?
Yeah.
It was so funny. I was cooking in the kitchen, and Justin came inside. He was all black in his face and just looked like a deer in the headlights. I just almost died.
You know what I'm thinking is weird right now as I'm telling the story?
That's a drama with you.
Yeah. Good radio.
You know? It's like Brokeback MASH time.
It was Brokeback Burner for me. Isn't it weird, though, that I run and turn off the propane tank? And then I go put out the fire. Why didn't I put out the fire first? I'm thinking of it now.
Shut the fuel off.
That's the side I was on, though. I was on the fire side.
No, shut the fuel off.
I did it right? Okay,
yeah,
good.
Yeah, you did.
I was about to call myself special bus boy. So
you window licker.
You got to check this out. The other So aside from that problem, which I'm hoping I have that remedied now, it has an air intake. Okay, there's a big opening where the propane actually shoots in. There's an opening on each side, and that's the air intake. And the way they manufacture the thing, they kind of say you need the entire air intake to be going. It needs that much air. But it doesn't. So the guys at B3 told me to block it up. They, of course, didn't tell
they
me to block it up.
They did not say that, man.
Wrong.
They did not say
you're
to block it up.
You're absolutely wrong.
We deny all of it.
They're just
wrong.
Screwing with you.
Yeah. Well, that might
blow
be so.
Yourself up.
That might be so.
They've never seen anybody block it all the way up, so they wanted to see.
Yeah,
what
they're
would
like
happen.
They're like you got to block it up a little bit to adjust it for however you need it. So
they recommended that you might need to, but they did not say you had to.
Whatever the fuck the difference is, that's they're fine. Like you got to block it up
it's
with
karma,
something.
Man. It's karma. It's good.
Why don't I play your rap for you?
Yeah, why don't we do that?
So I block and my own bad. What I do is I block it up with paper. Like no, I take a piece of cardboard paper and I tape it to the outside.
Why don't you just block it up with C4?
I know, that's what I'm thinking after. Why did I like soak it in lighter fluid?
That's by the way what the chat room is thinking, that you tried to blow out the fire and stuff like that. They don't have any sympathy for you now either. They call you a pussy for your behavior.
I'm not asking for sympathy, I'm telling you the story as it is.
But why are you so retarded?
I don't know, I have no idea.
You don't get to play with that thing anymore. I'm going to ruin that.
Well, no, because I got to get it right, because I was all stoked about brewing on this thing, and then the whole thing was ruined. So then after I get it going again...
What was ruined?
Well, the whole brew session was ruined, because after I got it going again, so now I take off all my blockage, and I just let it go... I let it go full-on air intake, right? Well, it doesn't generate enough heat then to even boil the water. I couldn't bring it to a boil at that point.
No, it's all yellow and stuff.
No, it was all blue flame.
Yeah.
But it doesn't. It's like not high enough. I think I maybe got to raise up the thing, get it higher to the kettle or something. Or I actually do have to, in a safe way, block some of the air intake. Because when I had it blocked, I brought it to a boil. It took an hour and a half or 2 hours.
Yeah, it took two
but
hours.
But I got it to a boil. But once I took all that blockage off and had the full-on air intake, wouldn't work anymore. I couldn't boil it.
Yeah, I run mine at like 70% roughly. You know, the little dial that you spin, whatever. It's
I had to crank this sucker. Hmm. And I still couldn't get it to boil.
Do you have the air dial where it blocks off those?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I got both. You know, I got the one on the propane tank, then I got the dial. Too.
So what happened once you started crying? You couldn't
yeah. No. He only cried for an hour.
Yeah, once I curled up into a ball in the fetal position out on the porch, my brew session was over because I had wasted an hour in that position.
Yeah, it took an hour, but then he was fine again.
Yeah.
But I was just actually wondering if some of the stuff just faded in the air, sort of, because it stunk all the time.
That's
like
the other
really
problem.
Felt like I don't know if that's normal.
It's not burning all the propane.
It's not.
Like the whole patio in my house smelt like propane.
Yeah, seriously.
That was got a leak or something.
That was the hole you burned in the hose.
Because
no,
that's
this
not
is before
normal,
that.
Right?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, then you had a leak in the hose.
Yeah. See,
you think so?
That's
I've had
problem.
That happen. Yeah, you got a leak.
Okay.
That's why your hose caught on fire.
Because exactly.
I was getting high out there for like an hour.
Yeah.
But you stayed, didn't you? You were huffing.
You kidding me? I stayed there as much as I could.
In the fetal
That's
position.
Why I was there when it caught fire.
Sometimes the fitting's just not tight.
All right. Well, maybe that was it. I did think of that, though, in my own idiot defense. I went and tightened everything as much as I could, but I guess it could have been the other fitting, the one that actually goes right into the, you know, because you have to tie a fitting to the hose coming from the propane tank to actually connect it to the standalone burner. And that fitting, I didn't use Teflon tape or anything like that, so that might actually be leaking right there.
Scotch tape.
Well, I duct taped the paper that I was using as my airflow blocker. I just duct taped it on there. Oh, man.
And the lighter fluid?
It wasn't going to be a good batch of beer either. I'm using a bunch of stale ingredients. I was rushing to brew because I got the stuff here. It's going bad. And I just wanted to use the kettle. And I was like, I'm just going to throw everything I got into this kettle just so I can brew. It's the only chance I have to brew. And I ruined it by catching the thing on fire. So what are you going to do? So maybe you guys can help me afterward figure out what's wrong with my standalone burner.
Yeah.
Or what's wrong with
me. You can light it up again and we'll stand back.
Yeah, that sounds like fun to me. All right, we got to take a quick break. Enough making fun of me.
No, it's
about
not.
About time, man.
No.
I was just starting to enjoy this.
Yeah. All right, we got Jim Golden Palette Rossi hanging out with us today. When we come back, we're going to start talking extract brews. He's the award-winning extract guy with pale ales and IPAs, and now he does all grain.
And now back to the Brewcaster.
The Brewcaster
on the Brewing Network.
Welcome back, girls. It's the Brewing Network, and we're here with Jim Rossi in our studio today, going to talk to us all about extract brewing and all-grain brewing and winning awards and the whole transition. I got some good questions for you myself, Jim.
So let's start from his roots. And
exactly.
That's when I met him, when he was doing extract.
That's what I'd like to do, too.
And the first time I met him, he's like, hey, you want to try my beer? And I was floored with how excellent his beer was. I couldn't believe that it was an extract beer.
Really?
And I had tasted a lot of extract beers. I had been head of the club for a while. And at that point, we didn't have very many people in the club, so a lot of people were doing extract. And Jim shows up and he says, yeah, I like to brew. And here, try this. And I go, damn. Dude, you got it going.
Was this at the meeting?
I'm pretty sure it was a meeting or
on
it
the
was,
bus.
Or no,
it was a meeting first.
Yeah, I think it was at a club meeting back when we had about 7-8 people showing up.
Yeah,
and I was just floored with how clean it was, how it didn't have that extract twang to it that you can always tell.
Well, thank you, Scott.
Doc's giving Jim a hand job as he's going through this, by the way.
So quiet
and all at the same time.
I give him a mouth job, but I couldn't talk at the same time.
Whoa.
I remember the twang.
It's good radio.
I remember the twang comment.
Oh, yeah, and it was one of the first extract brewers that I tasted his beer, and it was extraordinary. It really was.
Good stuff.
Check, cash, how much?
Yeah, no, but it was just phenomenal. And it's
well, Doc's right about the fact, and everybody knows this, there is the extract flavor that you can, that you end up with. And in particular, my last batch, my biggest complaint about it was that extract flavor. And we've been talking about different methods to get away from that. And I want to ask Jim about those today, too.
Right.
I also just want to say, guys, in the chat room, phone calls to 888-401-BEER. If you have any questions as we keep going, feel free to call in. Jim's happy to take your questions about this. And what we want to do, like Doc said, is kind of start at the beginning here and get you extract guys the info, and then we're going to move on to you all grain guys too. So we're really going to help you all out.
So Jim, that was quite a while ago. That had to have been 6-7 years ago.
About 4 or 5, actually. Yeah. It was it was 04. No,
it was
02.
98, 99, probably. Yeah, it was that long ago.
You were at the meetings? Oh, gosh. Yeah. And I lost that.
So how long ago did you start brewing? Just start as a home brewer?
I started about 10 years ago. So let's say 96-ish, I'd say.
And did you start out kind of like the rest of us, doing a partial boil on your stove kind of thing? Or
exactly.
Trying not to piss off the wife too much?
Plastic container, plastic 5 or 7 gallon bucket. I bought all my stuff at the homebrew outlet. I don't even know if it's still there in San Francisco on Terraville.
Oh, okay.
Went over after work one day and dumped a couple of $100 and just bought all kinds of stuff. I had tasted a homebrew that a friend of mine had made and couldn't believe, that he'd made this.
Right.
And, before I knew the how involved the process was. It was like, can you make me this? You know, I'll pay you like the you know, the $20. Can you just make it for me all the time? I want to have
I love
this.
That question from non-brewers. Make me that?
Yeah,
sure,
he looked
buddy.
At me like, are you crazy? Yeah. You
know, next
here,
time
dude,
I got 8
go
hours
buy this
to
stuff.
Spare.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
But,
all right, so you just picked up your regular kit kind of thing and started doing the partial boil? And
yeah, I did. And the first beer I made, it was called Vinny's IPA. The guy's name was Vinny, and I basically...
Not that Vinny, though.
No, actually, it wasn't Sluruzzo. No, it was not Vinny Sluruzzo. It was this guy at the airport where I was working. And
some guy at the airport.
I'm an electrician. I was working at the airport. They happened to bring me in a beer, and, you know. But...
It's better than the guy at the rest area.
So where did you get your information?
So
that was still
are you going to go into the George Michael story here or what? Let's not go there.
But that was still in the, that was still in the early days. So where did you get a lot of your information on how to brew, how to get better?
I would say, okay, of course, Papazian. I read that.
Mm-hmm.
I was brewing, let's see, I was doing okay. You know, I was brewing through... you remember Blanca
mm-hmm.
over there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, I was going through. There's a homebrew shop over there. Fantastic Fermentations. It's not around anymore.
Yeah,
okay.
That was the first club I was in, and it was more like pizza.
You were in that club?
Pizza and Beer Night.
Oh, she nice. Was like the...
She was the mama. Yeah. She'd like,
I wasn't
going to
say that, but yeah.
She'd take care of everybody, and I went to a couple of meetings, and I brought some homebrew, and I was like the only one that did, and everybody was there for pizza and beer night, and it wasn't what I wanted out of a club.
I didn't know that you were there. Wow.
Yeah.
What a trip. Anyway, I started brewing. I did a few brews, you know, between those two places.
Okay.
And then B3 opened.
Okay.
And I think I was there the first day they opened.
Okay.
And I met Olin and Chris, and then started going from there.
Okay. I think we can go ahead and skip past the beginnings then. And
sure.
So you did that. And let's talk about some of the techniques you use in brewing an extract batch, or at least that you used to use, because now you're all grain. And in particular, let me just throw this at you. You don't have to start here, but I'd kind of like it answered. We talk about in here, Doc and I he gave it to me as a suggestion. I think some other people have said, too, of actually putting your extract in later in the process, later in the boil, in order to not get that extract caramelization that you get for leaving it there for the full save, if you do 90 or 60 minutes. Mm-hmm. Just keep that on the back of your mind as you talk to us about how you do a nice extract batch.
Or okay. Maybe what brought you up to... the trick of, wow, this could make a better extract brew.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Ooh, making me reach here, going back a few years. That's an interesting question that you said about adding the extract in later.
Okay. You ever done that? You don't do that?
I didn't. With honey?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, honey, you're trying to get the flavor not to be boiled off. And you want to, you know, with my honey pail.
Gotcha.
Since I would, you know, I started getting later and later to the point where I was adding it at flame out, you know.
Gotcha.
Am I coming through okay?
Yeah, you're okay.
Is this on?
Am I on? I would say that I'm reaching again. In the early days, what I did was I was just clean.
Okay.
I was very clean. You know, I used good ingredients, fresh ingredients. I always did a large starter. That was something that was mm-hmm. big. You
okay.
know?
When you say large starter, what are you talking here? 2 liters? 1 liter?
Yeah, 2 liter. Okay. You know, I always did that.
All right.
That was one of the things that I did, you know, 10 years ago that a lot of the, you know, a lot of people weren't necessarily doing in my
circle
of friends or brewers.
It was more smack the pack, let it swell, and throw it in.
Exactly. Yeah. And when I started doing large starters, and then I bought the little red oxygen, you know, tank with a little
tank.
Stone.
Okay.
And I have a full 5-gallon tank now. I mean, everything just changes and grows as time goes on. But
so definitely oxygenating the wort as well.
Oxygenating the wort and the yeast starter as well.
Okay.
Both of those.
Gotcha.
Pitching an active yeast starter was huge.
Okay.
You know.
Now, the stir plate works as oxygenating the starter as well?
Or not oxygenating, just keeping the yeast in suspension.
Okay.
And I have one of those as well.
Okay.
Two of those.
At what point during the starter do you oxygenate it? Well, like right when you put your pitch your yeast in the starter, you oxygenate
absolutely.
It right then.
That's the only time
and
you really
you don't
want
have,
to
okay.
for a starter. Yeah.
Okay.
Now a beer, you know, if it's brewing, you can actually what is it up to 12 hours or so?
Yeah, before as long as it's in the aerobic state. And
right.
Yes.
And is,
okay, but the starter just right at the beginning.
Yeah, right at the beginning, just to give it a boost. I mean, you don't have to do
it. It's a mini beer.
Exactly. Just think of it as mini beer without the hops. You
okay.
know? And you just you want to give that yeast a healthy start and a good chance to get going.
Okay.
But I would say those two things, the big starter, being clean.
How long of a boil do you do with your extract bath?
I was doing 60 minutes, yeah. You know? I was doing a 60-minute boil.
So right when you got to a boil, you throw in your bitters, and you count that as the start of your 60-minute right there.
Throw in my bitters?
Your bittering hops.
Oh, yeah. Actually, yeah, well, I would steep first. You know, I would throw in my steeping grains, and then I would get
get it to a boil, and then you start your 60-minute timer right when you throw in those bittering hops, right when it starts boiling.
Exactly, okay. Exactly. I'd go for an hour with those. The last 10 minutes usually was, you know, my flavor in the last minute or so. Pretty standard.
Okay, so you're basic. All right, gotcha.
Yeah.
And a 60-minute. Okay, see, I do a 90. And rather than doing this extract thing at the end, which I'm still going to try for experiment's sake, not just for me, but for you too, Doc, because we've been talking about it.
Thanks.
I do 90, but okay, so maybe just dropping it back down to 60.
Well, I do 90 now.
Yeah, but now you don't have as many caramelization issues as you would do in 90 minutes of an extract in that pot.
True.
You know what
I
mean? I could be wrong. I'm asking.
I got to jump in and say, you know, the big thing I think that makes the difference is the 2-liter starter and taking care of the yeast and being clean.
Yeah.
That's where most extract brewers
fail. I agree. Okay. I agree. And that's exactly, that would be my emphasis. Those two things probably made the most difference of anything.
Well, having said that, he was doing that, you know, 6, 8, 9 years ago before anybody was really doing that.
Well, I don't know about anybody, but, you know.
Now it's the big trend since Mr. Malty here has just jumped on the bandwagon and make sure everybody's doing it.
Created the bandwagon.
But speaking of Mr. Malty, a short segue, the chat room wants to know why you're doing a sexy pose on your B3 picture in the catalog.
Because you bitches really like it, I know.
Because Jameel's a sexy man. You got to do the sexy pose. By the way, Jim Rossi's picture is also in the catalog.
Yeah. The old one, yeah.
Yeah, he's got that silly look on his face with his bottle of honey. It's great. I love that picture.
It's the evil honey man.
Yeah.
Throw me a freaking Baron, okay, Scott?
The mad scientist there. Mad honey scientist.
How many days did you start your yeast starters in advance, Jim? You're telling me that you bump it up twice. What was your process?
Oh, okay. You're talking about now.
Yeah. Let's stick with then.
Oh, then. Sure.
Okay, then.
Well,
but now.
Well, back then he was doing yeast starters before anybody was doing yeast starters, and I think that did set a lot of stuff apart.
Was it the night before, the day of? Was it 5 days in advance?
It was a while. It was at least I'd say 2 to 3 days.
So
in
probably
advance.
Wednesday, and you
Wednesday
burn on Saturday.
Exactly, yeah. And I'd let it go to completion, and then I changed up. I mean, sometimes I would just pitch the whole thing. Sometimes I would pour off and just pitch the slurry. You know, I had read different things, and I hadn't. You know, I really couldn't tell you at this point. It's hard to remember what worked the best. I mean, what works now, if I may, is I would typically, depending on the beer, you know, if it's a large beer, of course, so things are going to change. But your average beer, let's say, you know, 1050-ish, 10, maybe 1060, I would start on Wednesday, you know. I would go ahead and do a nice, you know, half pound of DME and do a nice 2-liter starter on my stir plate. Jameel, I have to say I give you credit on this. He kind of got me doing this Saturday morning of the brew. I altered it a little bit, but Saturday morning of the brew, I would go ahead and pour off the top and just, you know, leave the slurry in the bottom, and I have a fresh starter ready that I had made the night before and let it cool overnight.
Yeah. Excuse me.
And I would pitch onto that the morning of the brew. Okay, you with me?
So this is just the stuff on the top.
No, the stuff on the bottom.
You pour off the top, leave the bottom.
The slurry on the bottom, and I pour that in and just kind of give it a chance to just, you know, it's hungry, it's ready to go, and it's kind of like settled out after a few days. It's grown, but it's not active.
Right.
And so I would go ahead and pitch that slurry onto, you know, so give it some, basically just feed it the morning of the brew. And it would just be like, by the time I pitch, let's say in an all-grain batch, you know, let's say it's 2, 3 o'clock if I'm lucky.
Yeah.
It's just going crazy.
Crawling out of the flask.
I keep hitting this mic. I talk with my hands, I'm Italian.
Yeah, it's all right.
Bam! Wrote a song about it, let it hit, here it go. Oh, man, I had to do that.
Is this the song?
Actually, it is. It's the chicken dance.
Come on, John.
Good work,
Jim. I just saw Chicken Little last week. Good stuff.
I was looking for that song, actually. I couldn't find the Chicken Little song. I had to go with this
one. I wrote it.
Anyway, yeah, but that's what happens. And then basically, you just when you pitch that yeast, you know, you're pitching a fully already grown starter now that is also active.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like it's going. And, I mean, I literally have – I have, you know, bubbles in the airlock within the hour and fermentation, you know, with actual Croizon on top within under 2 hours.
Okay.
Which is pretty cool. You know, I'm happy to get that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's pretty quick.
Yes, it is. It's really quick.
Yeah.
You all right, Doc?
No, he told me about the other night. He's not happy unless that thing is bubbling within the hour.
Oh, right.
He's like, I can see him watching it.
I'll tell you, I'd flip out if I saw my beer do that. I think that would be just awesome. That'd be like a score. It's like a touchdown.
An hour later, when you get that. Yeah, it is.
Seriously, it is. I'd be pretty damn happy about that.
And if it doesn't, you're sitting there worried.
I go light myself on fire.
Well,
this is what I do.
With your burner.
Yeah, exactly.
Leaking burner.
Got to use it for something.
Be careful.
Okay, so yeast starter, then sanitation. All right. You know, and then you said you pretty much follow a basic process. Is there anything else you can think of that you do that might be out of the ordinary or a special trick that you do? Now, I'm curious how you get that non-extract flavor out of your beer.
Can't have my system pointing to the west.
Yeah, it's all the feng shui.
Yeah.
No, not really.
Okay.
I mean, I pretty much, you know, use good ingredients, try to use...
How about primaries, secondaries? Do you rack it off?
No, I don't. I have a conical. I have a 12.2 conical.
No, but when you're doing the extract ones, did you pull it off? Did you use
two
carboys?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'm sorry. We're back to that. Yeah.
Glass or plastic?
Glass.
Okay.
Plastic in the beginning. Glass. First batch plastic. Second batch glass.
Okay.
6.8 I thought was the best. The bigger carboy.
Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I liked that. I used to do the fives with the blow-off hose. Gosh, it's been so long. I forgot about that. Yeah, but the old, gosh, I'm horrible with this thing. I'm just the crazy dago in here. Wow.
I need a Chinese gong sound.
You got a belt or something? Strap my hands to the chair here.
You'd explode.
I'm telling you. Yeah, I would. Where were we?
So you do a secondary?
The carboy. Yeah, I changed that up many times, but I mean, what I think I found to be the best for me was using the 6.8, okay?
Yeah.
And then I didn't like to rack as much. I tried to minimize my contact with oxygen as much. Now, even though you could inject CO2 and all that stuff, you know, and I tried to minimize contact. I didn't like to move it. I like to let the beer sit. And usually my beers, Johnny will remember this, I was known as like the quick brewer. I mean, I was in and out in like 7 days, done.
Gotcha.
So I didn't have an issue with dead yeast cells or anything like that.
Right.
I would do it in a 6.8. Once the Croizon dropped, I was kegging.
That a boy.
The first few sips were a little chunky, and then I was good to go.
See, I'm always okay with that, too. I don't mind.
I was in a hurry.
You guys are separated at birth.
I think so. I think, Jim, you're my life partner.
There you go.
I just found.
I used to have a goatee. Look at that.
All right.
Broke back mash time.
Once you pour like 2 or 3 pints, chunks are gone, right?
Yeah,
so basically
exactly.
By the second half hour of drinking, you're drinking clean
beer.
You're
good.
And then
exactly.
the chunks come back.
Yeah, they might come back.
I was the impatient brewer. I mean, I really was for years. Now I do wait 2 weeks. I do.
Okay.
And now...
Was that an issue because you only had one carboy and you had to get it out of there so you could brew
something
else?
I
was just lazy. I wanted to taste what I made as quick as possible. I couldn't wait.
I had 7 carboys and I didn't want to clean any of them, so I just used one. The primer.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, when Jamil came in here and said those sweet and magical words that you don't need to do a secondary, it was like the best thing I'd ever heard.
Tell me about it.
Oh, it's a lazy,
one less thing to clean.
Lazy brewer's dream.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, hey, Jamil said it. I can do it. I'm allowed to be lazy.
When I found the 6.8, that was it. That was the reason why I bought that. I'm like, oh, my. You know, I don't have to. I was so happy with that. You know?
Okay.
Yeah, no overflow.
No overflow. Everything. Yeah, that was really the reason. No overflow. And,
You could almost fill it more than the five. Fives, you can almost go right to the top. And, of course, it's going to spit out the top.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
have a big mess the next morning before work when you got to be at work and you're late and the stuff's all over and you're going to ruin your beer and oh my God. And
you know what? I got to tell you something. It's funny. Speaking of extract brews, years ago, actually my first award I ever won was at Bay Area Brew Off, and it was a third place for my pale. And it was funny because that brew, I'd brew with my buddy Scott down from Fresno, and he was up from Fresno, and we had put, you know, you always hear about, you know, you got to be real careful and everything. Guys do the RO with the water and everything, you know, perfect. We came up short on the brew. We had to add like a gallon of hose water, right? We were in a hurry. We didn't filter it. Put it in. And then it was like one of the best pails to date that I've ever made.
See?
It was just insane. I don't know why.
Yeah.
You know? And it was it was just so good, that pail. And it went in and the competition, and it won.
And it won.
Good host.
See, that was my whole vision on Friday when I was just throwing a bunch of crap together, and I was thinking, I'm not even going to care. I'm not using bottled water this time. It smells like chlorine. It's going to be the best beer I ever made. I can feel it because I don't care. And it didn't happen.
No, I wouldn't recommend that though, just for the record. I mean, that was a fluke. I am very careful with everything, sanitation. I try to do, you know.
Yeah.
I don't RO my water, reverse osmosis. I don't do that. I have really good water in Oakley.
Okay.
I think that's part of the reason for, you know, the reason why some of the beers are, you know, coming out real well is the water.
Right.
It's just naturally, it's high in, what is it, calcium?
Yeah, it's good to work with.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
And
it works real.
So you're not saying that, like, the secret ingredient to your pail was hose water?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
All
right. No, because that was only a one-time thing.
Gotcha.
You know? Yeah.
Okay. All right. We got to take a quick break.
It's non-repeatable, too.
Yeah, you can't do it again.
No.
Because you don't know exactly how much hose water.
How much hose
plus,
water.
You have to use the same hose.
Yeah. Temperature, same time, same day. Stuff,
And you got to have your friend over there, too, from Fresno.
We're going to take a quick break. I think we can pretty much wrap up the actual extract part of this process, unless you can think of anything else that you want to make sure you mention. I do have a question back to the starter. How cold should you get the starter so that the yeast drops out when you do the drop and then pour off the top deal you were talking about so that you can then redo it? Anybody?
How cold should you get the starter?
Well, you're saying that in your starter, you end up with a bed of yeast down at the bottom, right? So it's dropped out.
It'll happen at room temperature. It'll happen
just at room temperature. Okay.
Yeah, over a period of time.
Either time's going to do it or you can force it with temperature.
Sure. But I'd rather let the time expire and let it drop out so you know it's finished. If you're trying to do what I'm doing, to get the maximum growth.
Okay. And, Doc, I have a feeling someone's trying to throw me under the bus with this one, so I want you to read it first and let me know if that's a retarded question or that's a real thing. It's got to be. They're just throwing me under the bus.
Yeah, I didn't know either.
Yeah,
and I asked Stephen, and they said, "Yeah, they'll know."
See, this is the problem because, like, neither Daniela or I, you know, we're just asking the questions, right? They ask the question, she hands it off to me.
I'll
ask anything.
Sometimes if something seems to be suspicious to me, I'll ask them again, and then they go, "Oh no, Daniela, they will know. Don't you worry about that one."
Yeah.
And I say, "Okay."
So they want me to ask how you measure your wetness factor, which I think was probably more a question to Daniela than to the brewers in here.
Excuse me.
Oh.
But like five guys said it was an okay question.
Yeah, five guys are all out to get us, Danielle. Don't you worry about that.
All right.
Well, five out of how many of you?
Oh my God.
We got to take a real quick break. It's only 2 minutes. I'm going to play the new and extended version of the Touch the Felt song, Doc.
Oh, it's extended?
Yeah, Rich went ahead and made a long one for us because
cool.
He was concerned that we shouldn't make it our new show outro if it wasn't long enough and up to standard.
Yeah, I read that he was a little touchy about it not being long
enough. So he made us a full version. I'll play that at the break for us. And when we come back, get your Boddingtons ready. That's our tasting for today, and we're going to taste a Boddingtons. We've got Jim Golden Palate Rossi here with us. So we want you to help us out. The point of this, Jim, is not to tell us whether or not you like the beer or it's good or bad or anything like that. We're just picking out flavors on the palate, where it rests on the tongue, different things like that, and anything you can pick out to help our listeners kind of improve their palate.
Oh, that's all. Okay.
And
sure.
Yeah, just that.
Sure, no problem.
No pressure, my friend.
I'll tell you exactly how it was made and when and where.
Yeah,
and
that's all we want.
What
to
temperature
know.
The mash was.
Yeah,
exactly.
It was made in the spring.
If there's any like English rat shit in there or anything like that. It's the Brewing Network. We'll be right back.
I was hoping you might let me have some.
Touch the felt.
I was hoping you might let me have some.
Touch the felt. Bring it in there. 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 Touch the felt.
I was hoping you might let me have some.
Touch the felt. Freak in there. Touch the felt.
Let me have some.
Touch the felt. Touch the felt.
I was hoping you might let me have some.
Touch the felt.
I was hoping you might let me have some.
Touch the felt. Bring it in there. Touch the felt. Bring it in there. Touch the felt. Bring it in there. Touch the felt.
Let me have some.
Bring it in there.
Touch the felt. Let me have some.
Bring it in there.
Touch the felt. Let me have some.
Touch the felt.
Listening to three guys.
Excuse me, what about me?
Sorry.
You're listening to three guys and one girl use a radio show as an excuse to drink more beer. The Brewcasters
on the Brewing Network.
We're back with Jim Rossi. Jim Golden Palette Rossi, that is. How'd you get that name, Jim?
You want me to tell you the whole story?
I want a short version of the whole story.
Ray Daniels.
Jim like got put in a competition. It started out sort of to be for fun and turned into
you
this really
there.
Cool thing. And basically, what did they do to the? They made you and a lot of people joined in, and you ended up a finalist with Ray Daniels,
yes.
The great Ray Daniels. They made you taste beer, but what did they do to the beer? What was the point of the tasting?
It was a company called Flavor Act 5, and they spiked the beer with known off flavors, you know, that would occur from things in when you went home brewing. You
okay.
Know? Yeah, and basically we just
so like maybe some cardboardy flavor.
Exactly.
And, okay.
Vegetable, green apple,
skunk,
yeah,
all that kind of stuff.
Exactly. Lightstruck,
okay.
Whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, it made it this through. A lot of people, and it came down to they decided to make a big deal out of it with the finalists, and
yeah.
it was Ray Daniels and Jim.
Okay.
And it just got bigger and bigger and bigger until they had these two out there.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, right now, I know a sound clip that's going to be on the new doc board by tomorrow. It just got bigger and bigger and bigger. Right? I just see him
I
already.
I met the guy who did that yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's a local guy.
Oh, he came into the shop or what?
So his name's Pete.
Did you tell him that he's like the greatest thing to happen to the Brew Network since sliced bread?
I said, well done, man.
Yeah, right.
So they would spike the beers, and then you had, you know, blindly had to pick out which beer had which flavor in it?
Exactly. We just identified different off flavors, and then we took a written test.
Oh, gotcha.
And that actually was the hard part.
Okay.
And it was tied. And
him and Ray tied at the end, right?
And everyone was going, oh, well, they'll have a taste off, and Ray will win.
Yeah,
oh, right. Everyone was like, oh, Ray will win.
Oh, Ray will
like,
blow
Jim,
him away.
Jim, you gotta go kick his ass.
Yeah.
Come on, Jim, you can do it.
And he did it.
Yep.
And then in the in a 2002 issue of Zymergy, I don't remember what month, do you?
No, November.
November of 2002, then Ray actually wrote a short piece on it, an article.
Yeah, he did it justice. It was nice. He did a nice story.
And he basically said in the end, you know, Jim won. So, way to go, Jim, on that. That's cool. And that's how you got to be known as Jim Golden Palette Rossi. Then.
Yeah, I came back home, and I had just bought my B3 2050, my 20-gallon system. And
okay.
The boys at B3 made a plaque that said, Jim Golden Palette. I mean, I had never even heard the name. They just kind of, I think either JP, who came up with the
JP,
John?
Yeah, of course. Gotta be JP, attaboy.
JP had Golden Shower on.
they screwed it up at the print shop.
Like, does he really mean to say shower?
Nice. I remember they spelled it wrong or something the first time I heard. They had to check the spelling. They had to get a spell check on it or something.
Jim Hot Lunch Palette. Rossi. Nice. All right, if you got your Boddingtons ready, get that out. We read the can to make sure we do it right. It says, serve cold, open can, pour into glass. So pretty straightforward this week,
folks. I did okay.
put out fire.
Now, Boddingtons is one of the original beers to use the widget. I think they were using the widget before Guinness was.
Hey, how did he get a whole can?
I could be wrong. Because I was thirsty, and I went out there and said, I'm drinking a whole can of this. I love Boddingtons. Boddingtons is one of my favorite beers.
Good stuff.
Tetley's I like a little better. If I'm going to go for a creamy ale, I'll go for the Tetley's. But Boddingtons was one of the first English beers I had, and I love the stuff. So it's obviously nitrogen-fed, so you got to wait for it to settle out if you're doing your pour. And did you guys not get a tasting?
Yo, I got mine. Okay. You know, it's got a nice slight dry biscuit to it in the background. So the malt and the biscuit are kind of dry, almost dusty.
All right.
You're not going to get a lot of mouthfeel from it. They do the nitrogen, so there's not a lot of carbonation. You still get a head, but you don't get a lot of carbonation in it. So it's got that kind of English level of carbonation.
Which is almost flat, basically,
right.
if you.
You're going to get a very slight crystal malt character to it. It's going to be kind of a very tiny bit of sweetness and caramel to it. Very tiny.
Yeah.
You're going to get some hops. The hops are like Kent Goldings.
Okay.
So you get some bitterness. You get a little bit of flavor, but you're not going to get any aroma out of that.
Okay. Go back to one of your first statements was how dry. It's biscuity and then dry. What's the part that's happening on your tongue that lets you know it's dry?
The biscuit itself is dry. All right. So there's kind of a... You know, there's in the land of doughs and breads and biscuits and crackers, right? You can have a wet cracker, you can have dough, you can have bread, you can have toast, you can have all that, right?
Yeah.
So when the biscuit is like getting kind of old and dry and a little stale, and it tends to, when you put it on your tongue, to have that powdery coating, like a floury biscuit.
Right.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay. And see, because to me, if I'm going to say that something's dry, it's definitely the evaporation that feels like it's happening as you drink it.
Well, and that can be carbonation, but there is a slight bit of caramel to it as well, right? That crystal kind of sweetness. So there's that sweetness. There's the biscuit. There's the hop. There's a nice balance of bitterness to malt. It's very slightly on the side of bitter versus malty, so versus the balance. So it's slightly bitter compared to sweet.
Yeah.
And, you know, all those things are working together. So you get all this flavor. Over the top of everything is a huge fruitiness.
Right.
So you're also going to get a lot of the carbonate water coming through. Right. It's got that mineral kind of
twang to it. Which adds to the dryness.
It adds to the dryness. It adds to that.
And it's kind of a chalky feel, too.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's the chalky kind of thing, and it's very British.
Okay.
Well, and I always associate the Britishness with a real biscuity undertone along with the malt. And, you know, the British pale malts and stuff, and you get that biscuity, malty undertone.
Yeah. If it were more carbonated, that bitterness that the hop is doing wouldn't come through as much,
I'm thinking. It'd probably come as more harsh.
Right. The carbonic acid you get out of it becomes very harsh and acidic and dry and sharp, and it actually makes the beer seem thinner.
Okay.
Believe it or not.
Okay.
And the bitterness is just really hot and sharp on your tongue, and it takes away from it. Where when they have the low carbonation like this, it balances out a lot nicer.
Can I throw something in? You know,
please.
No.
Interesting.
No.
Okay.
Be quiet, Jim.
Okay. I just want to say everything Jamil said, I said. So anyway.
Okay.
Fair enough. I'm off the hook. No. Seriously. When you have homebrews that you get right out of the conical or let's say out of the carboy and you're tasting them, you know, flat, yeah. you know, non-carbonated, you know, sometimes you taste them, wow, it's really good. Then you carbonate and, whoa, hey, that's kind of bitter or astringent. Something might, you know,
yeah.
that comes into play, what they're
Absolutely.
Talking about.
It definitely kicks it up.
Yeah, it can change things. So you can have a beer that you thought was, wow, this is really good, and it kind yeah. of changes.
I never judge my beer before it's carbonated. I'll taste it. Danielle asks me all the time, well, do you like it or do you not? And I always say, I don't know if I like it yet or not. Until
really?
It's until it's kind of done and where I want it to. I guess my palate's not advanced enough to do any predictive tasting, right? So I can sort of say, well, this is happening. I predict when it's carbonated and when it's cold, it's going to taste just right. I can't really do that. Okay. So I just suspend judgment, and it always, to me, tastes completely different afterward.
I actually have a book on that coming out next month, if you're interested.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
I'm kidding.
Oh. really? You got a book on bad beer and gone bad?
I was just teasing you.
There's a lot of...
I'm like, wow.
The carbonation does play a lot in the flavor.
Yeah.
If you're tasting it flat and it's maybe a little too sweet and cloying on your tongue, I always know that I can boost the carbonation. Maybe it's carbonation is a little low and it lays on my tongue and hurts almost. It's that sweet kind of thing on my tongue. If I boost the carbonation
it
really changes it, and it can make a so-so beer into something that really lifts off the tongue.
Absolutely. Yeah, the nitrogen bubbles are smaller than the CO2 bubbles. That's the reason why you've got that.
And you can see that in the head of the beer, too. It's such a thick... as opposed to if you look at, say, let's take a Sierra Nevada, for example, which has pretty large bubbles,
right.
especially for a pale ale. You can actually see all the individual bubbles in the head of your glass, but not on a nitrogen-fed beer
they're
like
almost,
this.
It's almost like it's a flat beer.
Nitrogen is much more stable in the atmosphere than a CO2.
Okay.
It's the equilibrium thing.
Okay.
I mean, taste it now. I mean, it's almost flat.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, let me ask this. I know that the nitrogen plays a part in smoothing out the beer, too. But when you say a beer is creamy, and this beer is definitely a creamy English ale, I'd like to know ingredients, too, that maybe add to that. But what's the part on the palate or what's happening there that makes you say it's creamy? Because they're not adding cream to the beer. They're not putting, you know, it's not a lactose beer. So what gives you that illusion of a creamy beer?
Well, there's it depends on the... medium length proteins that are in the beer. So, you have your short chain, your medium chain, your long chain proteins, and you want your long chain to drop out, and you want the medium ones are the ones that do the head and do some of the body and things like that.
Okay.
Now, the nitrogen being a really tiny bubble compared to CO2, it gets out of there, and that's really where the head's being formed, but the CO2 is left in the beer, so they actually have some CO2 in there.
Okay.
And it's that balance of CO2 to the residual dextrins, the proteins, and all those things that it's an intermarriage that's very, very, can be very tricky to balance out just right.
Yeah.
And, done right, any beer, even from, a pub draught that's, 3% alcohol to, a 20%, stout from Dogfish Head.
Yeah.
You can get that creaminess in there.
Okay.
And you can lose that creaminess, like Doc was saying, too much CO2, too little CO2, you're sweet and cloying, you're harsh and dry, you're in between. So, play with that CO2. One great reason to win that kegging system is you can play with that. Yeah, you just dial in a different pressure.
Right.
And you get a different level of CO2.
Okay.
And the beer changes, like you're saying, Justin. It's radically different based on just a small change in CO2. And once you can control that, you can get that creaminess and the beer tastes totally different.
Yeah.
Can you make, then, a cream ale that's not nitrogen-fed? Or nitrogen carbonated?
Right. Cream ale, and I've gone to competitions where people have put, like, vanilla in cream ale because they like cream soda. And it's got nothing to do with that.
Exactly.
Cream ale is, a fairly dry, clean American ale with some corn in it.
Okay.
A variation of lager.
So you're looking at mouthfeel, I think, mostly.
Yeah, well, that's part of it, but it's also a flavor characteristic,
well,
too.
Mouthfeel has a lot to do with flavor characteristic and how it lays on your tongue. And as Jamil was saying, it has a lot to do with the long-chain dextrins, the long-chain proteins, and how fluid the mouthfeel is. You can have a really thin beer. You can have a really thick beer.
Yeah.
And a lot of things play into it.
Okay.
If you're going to have... low carbonation, you're not going to need quite the long chain dextrins to pull off that mouthfeel. But when you really crank up something with a lot of CO2, it's going to really dance. It's going to dance off the tongue. And you're going to need to do something else to pull it in. You're going to need wheat. You're going to need oats. You're going to need something to keep the body in the beer.
Okay.
You know, back to your dry question.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
sure.
You know, I'm into wines as well, and, you know, we always perceive wines that are dry, they seem to have less, you know, residual sweetness. That seems mm-hmm. to be the dry thing that we're looking at.
Okay.
I guess I'm just posing the question, is that, would you, to Jamil or you, I guess, would you agree with that? That has to do with sweetness as well, when you're perceiving dryness, how much residual sugar is left in the beer?
Probably, I think from the basis point of it all, yes. If you're thinking about dry or sweet, that's one end and the other end, dry and sweet. But a lot of it has to do, we're talking mouthfeel, we're talking a lot of different nuances in this.
Okay.
It's very complex, and you're talking about dry versus sweet versus bitter versus malty versus, you know, carbonated, low carbination. There is a
astringent,
huge,
non-astringent.
Beer is a very complex thing, organism. It's far more complex than wine.
They've figured there's 1,000 different flavors in beer, and a good beer taster can taste about 100.
Wow.
Or at least figure out about 100, but there's 1,000 in there. So there's a lot of different variables. There's a lot of things we put in beer. There's a lot of different variables by the fermentation temperature, the mash temperature, everything we're going to be doing. And sometimes we hit it right on, and sometimes we don't. But you know what? It's a pretty forgiving kind of thing. Mm. So we can make pretty good beer out there.
All right, let's wrap up the Boddingtons because we've got to move on to some all grain with Jim, too. How about a quick one? You guys like it or not as a beer? Just for fun.
A quick one? What?
You like the beer or not?
I do, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah? Good one?
It's mm-hmm. it's good. Doesn't compare to cask in England, but
okay.
It's good.
All right. Johnny P?
Jamil is flying us all to England.
Let's go.
Daniela, you want to try this? Mm-hmm. Give it a go. Tell us what you think. Have you ever had Boddingtons before? No?
No,
never
sure.
had it.
I know that you were looking in London all over the place for that beer when we were there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, couldn't find it. In fact, they even looked at me like I was an idiot.
I know.
Because I wanted it off a tap there. And I said, hey, you guys got Boddingtons? And they said, what?
That's like going around here looking for Budweiser, you know?
Because one of our listeners was just asking, he's going to London, and he was just asking about London in general.
London
I told him
sucks.
That you were really disappointed in the beers there.
You
but
gotta
it's
go,
also because
you got to go to the suburbs of London. That's
exactly.
in those pubs. If you stay in the city center, like which is where we were most of the time, the beer is crap. And if you go in there and ask for a good beer, they look at you like you're retarded.
Oh, you're
so
angry.
I was angry because I was so excited about drinking good English beer. And then I find out later, you know, you got to go out to the working man. You got to go out to the suburbs, and that's where the good beer is in the cask and on tap. And
but I think that's not right because I personally think that you're not going to like British beer at all because it's flat and they drink it warm. And that's two things you do not appreciate about beer.
I like this beer, and it's flat. And I like Tetley's, and that's a flat
one.
This
one is not really flat, though, is it?
Yeah, it is.
It is?
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Justin was looking for Boddingtons on tap.
Give me some Boddingtons.
But
he cut his
gums up
like
pretty
it.
Bad.
Boddingtons and Red Bull. Yeah, that's what
that's what I wanted. You guys make that out here?
Boddingtons.
I really want a Tetley's. And that's the thing, too, why I was astonished they were looking at me like that. I've got a couple of good friends who grew up in London, and they're like, oh, yeah, you got to have it in a pub out there. And I said, okay, great, that's exactly what I'm going to do. And I couldn't find it anywhere.
So but I think in Great Britain, it's like with London, you don't really have the beer culture there in London, in the city center. You go to Manchester and places like that where people, you know, the blue-collar places in Great Britain, and you will find the best beer ever.
I'm not sure if that's it. I think it was Justin was going to the gay bars, and that's why I couldn't find it.
What am I supposed to do if he really wants to go?
I think that is making an assumption that gay people don't like good beer, and I don't appreciate that. Because you can find just as good beer at Stud over in San Francisco as you can anywhere else.
Was that you there last week?
Seriously, Amari, is that where you go every Thursday?
Me and Jim. I told you, Jim's my life partner.
Buddingtons.
Yeah, I hardly recognized you.
You guys were all there. The whole Brewing Network crew is there in disguise.
We didn't know each other.
Pretending we don't know each other. Quick question, which may not be so quick, guys.
They're all guys.
Hey, how do you control pressure to a six keg system without having regulators? Do they all have to be the same pressure?
No, what was that? What?
Yeah, they're all the same pressure.
No, they're all the same pressure. You can't do it.
No, wait, what did you say?
I didn't get it either.
How do you control pressure to a six keg system without having regulators? And the answer is you can't. All have to be the same pressure.
One thing I really, really press is you need a backflow valve on each one.
Yeah.
Because when you pull off of one keg, the pressure will pull from another keg, and you're going to get kegs mixing, and you're going to get flavors. Pretty soon, things are going to taste like...
Beer travels down the CO2 hose back into the
back in,
tank.
And even just the flavors do, and you won't be wanting to do that.
Yeah.
And I know it's a plug for more beer, but if you buy one of their manifolds, they come with check valves built in on every line.
Okay.
And you don't have to screw
it. Oh, you mean
it,
the brass ones with the little black valves? Yes.
And then can you just choose how many you need on the manifold?
Yeah, just tell them how many you want.
You can build it.
They've got individual on-offs, and they've got check valves in every line. So and it's done the right way.
You can add to those, too.
You can start with two and then add to that.
As many as you need, yeah.
How much are those, Johnny P., like on a per-valve basis?
$15.
For each one, so
$10 to $15.
Okay. But they're well worth it because you can shut off each keg as it goes, and there's no backflow, so your wit doesn't taste like a Mars.
I've got a 10 in my
I've got
freezer. I've got 10 of them built together with the original ones with the black plastic.
Yeah,
I'm sure you can find those at Northern Brewer as well, northernbrewer.com. They have a lot of the same catalog, and you can find some really good stuff there.
Exactly, Northern Brewer is great too. they are. Hey, I've been there, man.
Yeah, you've been to the shop there?
I have, and they've given me their beers. They send me to some good places. I bought stuff from them.
Nice,
good company. Good,
I get their catalog.
Folks.
I do.
You do?
Yeah, so I get their catalog too. In fact, the brew I did today, half the grains came from them.
Oh, okay.
Because I couldn't get certain things.
You can be disowned.
Well, no, I'm not gonna because I could order a whole sack, but I need it.
Sack on that.
I needed some acid malt. I needed some six row. I needed some things that I couldn't get. And
at B3?
Yeah.
Okay. Real quick, let's move into all grain with Jim here, too. What I want to know is about your transition from extract to all grain, Jim, because we talk quite a bit in here about you know, maybe taking the step up to all grain if that's what it is for you. I've not done it. I'm not ready to do it. You were brewing great award-winning brews on extract before you ever moved to all grain. And from talking to you before the show, you were even somewhat reluctant to move to all grain because you're brewing great beer. So, you know, what kind of got you to make the move? And, you know, it maybe is the move necessary? And what's the difference for you now?
Okay. I appreciate the compliments. The beer I was brewing, I mean, it was well received. And, I enjoyed it. I wouldn't say that I was winning the amount of gold medals like that I won this last year. I
mean,
I had a good year. I hit 9 golds. I had never done that in the extract when I was brewing extracts. But then again, I wasn't entering as many competitions, so
relative.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
But I would say I was having a good time brewing extract. I mean, I didn't know any different. I had never brewed all grain. I just knew that it was a lot of, it seemed like it was, an investment of a lot of equipment. And I'd heard it was, a good 4 to 6 hour process.
Right.
I had been told by several people, it was a lot of fun. Go ahead and open that.
But you're a family guy and worried about, more time away from the family. And...
Yeah, exactly. And okay. I was thinking, my brew day was going to, increase, which it has. But, I'd have to say, it's sticking to what you asked me. Let's see. I was brewing extracts, in under 2 hours.
Wow.
I was rolling. It was good.
You had it dialed in.
Yeah, it was easy. I mean, I had fresh extract from, more beer in Concord and was able to just, go ahead and pretty much whip out a batch at any time without a bunch of special equipment. And, they were coming out pretty good.
Okay.
I guess the pivotal point was, it was around, with the Ray Daniels thing, right around that time is when I'd ordered my B3.
Your big system.
Yeah, my big system, 20 gallon system. I don't know what got into me. I just, all of a sudden, people have been telling me for a while, hey, if you're brewing beers like this as an extract brewer, just think what you could do. Just think what you could do. That kind of thing. More control, different styles, And so I guess it was just kind of the, thrill of the chase or whatever you want to call it. I mean, I just, the unknown. I wanted to
Jamil's fondling. Jamil's fondling Jim me. As he speaks.
It's because of his beard.
You like that one?
I think you moved to All Grain because you got sick of people. Just dogging you.
Okay, there you go. That's another reason. Everybody was saying it to me. I mean, I was in the Doe's Club, and everybody's saying, dude, why? I mean, new brewers are brewing extract. I've been there, 5-6 years. Excuse me. New brewers are doing All Grain,
right.
And I am doing extract still. It's like, what?
Right.
Dude, you're on the cover of the magazine. You're doing, extract? What the hell?
Well, that's an interesting point, though. You were, they had already put you on the cover of the magazine because of your extract brews, and they wanted to put your recipes in there. As extract brews.
The honey pail thing.
Yeah, exactly.
The honey pail was my, original recipe that, that kind of went over real well at B3.
Okay.
But, anyway, to get back to what you were asking me, I basically just, finally, with what Scott said, decided, hey, it's time. Let's do this. And, went all grain. And the first all grain batch, my buddy Brandon Wilson and I made, took the silver medal in the West Coast Nationals, the AHA.
Wow.
And that was cool.
And that's
that
your
was
very first
very
all-grain
first all-grain
batch.
Beer I'd ever did. I mean, we didn't even know what we were doing.
Okay.
We were calling Olin during the beer. Dude,
What now?
What do we do with this litmus test? What am I looking for,
And yeah.
He's like, don't worry about it.
How come this hose water smells funny?
Yeah, exactly. Is that hose water?
Well, just think if you would have gone all-grain before that.
Well, hey, you never know.
Okay.
But, anyway, but that's
but it did give you more control and allow you to do better things. Now, if people said to you then, hey, if you're brewing this good a beer with extract, imagine what you can do with all grain. Did that come true for you?
I'd have to say yes.
Okay.
I'd have to say yes. I mean, I like, again, variables, but
yeah,
I think so. It's a lot of fun.
Okay.
You got a question there?
I'm just getting weird questions. They're not weird. They're just off topic. This is back to your extract, I guess. Did you use extract in bulk, they want to know, Daniela?
In bulk. Did I buy it in bulk, to save money?
That's
kind of
what the question was.
Did I use it in bulk?
I just copied it.
Now, I'm cutting off the chat room for today.
How often were you brewing that you needed to buy it in bulk? Some people do that. I got people in the club that are brewing.
You can buy a barrel,
and they're
right?
They're buying the 60-gallon thing.
No, I wasn't. I just pretty much bought
batch per batch.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I mean, grains. Yeah, grains. I do.
Now you do buy.
Oh, I buy four sack pricing. Yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only way to go.
Four sacks are better than one. That's
absolutely.
What I always say.
The quad sack.
A four sacked monkey. Imagine the possibilities.
The hot sack.
What's the number one thing, this is a question from the chat room, the number one thing to improve your beer? And I think that's across the board. It doesn't have to be for all grain. What's the number one thing to improve your beer?
Have Jamil sit in with your session.
Yeah? until we can afford the B3 or the Brewing Network private jet, which will probably be sponsored by somebody like B3, and Jamil can't go brew with them, what else?
I would say increase your starter if you're not already doing so.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest you can get it. Definitely oxygenate.
Okay.
I mean, these are, I'm going to give you three things depending on what they're doing.
Okay.
And, be extremely clean.
Cleanliness.
So whatever you're not doing of those three, do that. That would be the biggest thing.
I mean, what do you use as a sanitizer, personally?
I personally use Star Sand.
You do?
It's
okay.
A no rinse, and I like it. I use Sani Clean for my hoses or when I'm pumping, through my pump and, clean in place.
Doc, what's this other Star Sand that you like to use because it's non-foaming?
Oh, that's the star, 5-star.
Santa Clean.
Santa Clean.
You have to leave it in. You have to use twice as much.
That's what I was just talking about, yeah.
And you have to use twice as much.
The pumping.
And it has to be in there twice as long. So that's an issue. But I usually keep it as a backup.
I used to use only that, the Santa Clean, because I didn't like the foam. It just bugged me, man. I mean, everybody would tell me, it's okay. It's no problem. You can rack right onto it. But I mean, when I'm seeing bubbles coming out of my keg, I'm like, I don't like this.
So yeah, that whole carboy full of bubbles.
I didn't like it.
That bothers me, too. That's why I wanted to ask about what that was.
Yeah, it bothers me. But there's evidently no problem with that. I've been using it lately, and I haven't had any issues. So
John says he was on the horn with the guy, actually, and said it won't hurt anything, right?
Well,
didn't you talk to the guy?
It's phosphate-based, so it's good for your plants.
What about your beer?
Good for your chickens, too.
Yeah, yeah. I think you have an issue with kegging. You might have head retention issues. What I use an Alpha D2 or isopropyl alcohol. And as I add this isopropyl alcohol, I'll actually spray the bubbles and they'll actually disappear within 2 to 3 seconds.
What? You just have a spray bottle full of it?
Yeah. It goes away instantly.
All right. But and that know, doesn't that won't
and
affect
that's brought to you by Chicken Boy.
That won't affect the taste of your beer?
No.
Okay.
What Jim's saying though, I mean take special note of what Jim said is the three top things was your starter, your oxygen and your sanitation. So three things that affect fermentation and yeast. And that's what it's all about. And you know, I agree with Jim 100%. You know, that's what's gonna make the difference.
Okay.
I go for the six P's.
Okay.
Proper preparation prevents piss-poor performance.
Can you say that five times fast?
No.
absolutely
But if you plan out everything and you don't have any surprises in the middle like having to use hose water or whatever happens to be.
Come on, it was a good thing.
It was a good thing in that point.
Yeah.
But it makes it for a lot nicer brew, no stress. You've got everything planned out, all your stuff's there. Oh, damn, I forgot the yeast. And you got to take a special trip out to the store to get some more yeast, that kind of stuff.
Has anybody ever forgot to chill or run their chill water through their counter pressure when you're...
Oh, yeah. For the first, fried your
yeast.
Oh, or just for the
is it
half,
just me?
Half the conical's full. And, oh, damn, I should... Oops. Recirc, okay.
Listener wants to know, Jim, if you're going to enter an IPA into the World Beer Cup in Berkeley next month.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I've got actually a double IPA will be going in. The one that just hit the Firestone Walker comp a couple weeks ago is going in.
Mm. Real quick, I went to a double IPA fest. Now that just reminded me. Yesterday at the Bistro in Hayward out here.
How was that?
Great place, by the way. Packed just a bunch of people in there and really a lot of beers on tap. Saw a bunch of guests that have been on the show here and a lot of them had beers entered there. Aaron from Beach Chalet had a great beer. I tasted his. That was on tap there. Sean O'Sullivan, 21st Amendment, took the bronze.
Wow.
Took the bronze for his double IPA. Roger from Drake's had two beers on tap there. He had the Jolly Roger and I don't remember the name of the Denogonizer. He had a Drake's Denogonizer was on tap there. That's a good beer, too. Had a nice, just an extremely well-balanced double IPA from Speakeasy. It's called...
great beer.
Double Daddy.
Oh, really? I haven't had that.
I think they brew it maybe just for that competition.
Because they're Big Daddies.
They got the Big Daddy. Yeah. This is Double Daddy.
I have to try that.
So well balanced for a double IPA. I really enjoyed this beer. And that was Mike from Speakeasy. Talk to him. He's going to come on the show for us, too. And, man, that was good. Who else did I? There's a lot of people out there just brewing good beers.
Did Vinny show up? Or?
Vinny won Best of Show with Pliny, which was the People's Choice Award is basically what that is. So everybody can vote, and of course everybody loves the Pliny.
That's who inspired me, and that's what my double IPA is based after is Pliny. I renamed it to Top Jimmy.
But I had to rename it.
Basically, and very similar to his.
The gold medal went to another guest we've had on the show, great guy, Arnie from Marin Brewing Company.
Yeah, their IPA is great.
They won the gold. Oh, this is incredible. A double.
Oh,
this
yeah.
is a double IPA.
Good
put
stuff,
in.
Yeah.
And he won the gold. And Pizza Port, I don't remember what their double IPA was called, but they took the silver.
Cool.
Solano?
So,
yeah.
So there you go. Yeah, just it was a cool thing. You just reminded me of the double IPA. I just wanted to mention that festival. And the Bistro in Hayward there, cool place to be hanging out, too.
I brought the double today if you want to try it next
time. I'm ready to start drinking some of your IPAs and pails if you want to get these out. You guys are already doing it, aren't you?
I think they had the pail out.
Okay. Let's start doing that.
That's
I'm going to throw
right
a, if anyone can grab some beers for us, not you, Jim. You stay right where you are because I got some more questions for you.
Now that you just mentioned the Pliny recipe, is there any clone for the Pliny?
There is clone. Yes. In fact, I think you can get a clone from B3 for the Pliny. Is that
was
right?
That's the question.
Yes. It's called Top Jimmy.
Is yours there as Top Jimmy, too?
Excuse me?
Is yours there as Top
no,
Jimmy?
No.
Oh, what's
not
that
yet.
One there? I might be able to drink that, too.
Dr. Scott's Kolsch.
I don't know if that's a serious question. What is a double in a double IPA?
What is a double?
In a double IPA.
And a double IPA?
No, what is the double in the double IPA?
The IPA is already like double hop, so it's probably quadruple.
Not exactly, but I mean, it's just more. It's more of everything.
It means more.
Put it this way. If an IPA is a pale on steroids, a double IPA...
It's schizo.
Is that on, you know what I'm saying? Is an IPA on steroids?
Oh, okay.
And at least
to the next level
for the group that was there yesterday, it also tends to be higher in alcohol content too, because you got to increase
absolutely.
You got to increase that malt bed in order to handle that amount of hops.
Exactly.
And the alcohol sweetness will help balance the hoppiness.
It did also. In fact, in that speakeasy one I'm talking about, the Double Daddy, the one that had just such a great malt balance, also was like a 9.
Yeah.
And you're right about the hot part of the alcohol in there really helps to balance out the hops. It kind of cuts it down a little bit.
Justin, you're not as ignorant as John said. You know what you're talking about, dude. Come on. That was perfect.
Small moments of
that was beautiful.
Knowing something.
Well,
you nailed it.
Does it go further than? Is there a quadruple IPA and then 8 times IPA?
No. You're on the West Coast.
Give them a little time and they'll do it.
Yeah.
How much more hoppy could it be?
I'll tell you, there was a couple there that could easily have been quadruple IPAs.
Really?
Rogue. It's called a 12 PA or 1-2 PA. I don't know how you're supposed to say I-2 PA, something like that.
John Mayer's always over the top.
That guy.
Yeah, he's bad.
He's
the man.
Yeah. Seriously hoppy beer, that one.
Him and Vinny, I swear. Those two guys are just...
But I've got a picture of John Mayer schlepping a really falling apart case of beer across Vegas. and it's like, dude, you're the CEO and you're schlepping your own beer. I got to get a picture of this. So he posed for me and I took a picture.
He's great, huh?
Yeah.
Nice guy.
All right, now this is your IPA I'm drinking right here, I'm assuming?
I don't think so. I think it's my pale.
Oh, you think it's your pale?
It is my pale.
It's a hoppy pale, too.
It is. My pales are always really hoppy and they've just kind of evolved that way because of the judges always telling me, more bitterness, more hops, more this. It's my pale is basically almost an IPA,
but it's not real bitter. It's real hoppy, and there can be a difference. You can do, you can have a hoppy beer without all the bitterness.
The color's definitely a pale ale.
Yeah.
It's not an IPA, which is a lot lighter. This is a pale ale color, and goes back to listening to what the judges say.
I do.
You've listened to what the judges said. I'd like to have some more hops in this. I'd like to have some more this or that. And you do it, and, well, hell, you
win. Funny. It's not what I always want the beer to be. It's what they're wanting it to be. Like, my family would love it.
Well, when you're competing, sure.
Well, they want the beer to be, not so bitter. Oh, it's too bitter. Blah, what's this, And I'm... what are those? That's hops,
Yeah. You got to have like a kegerator for your family and a kegerator for competition.
Exactly.
Right?
So my competition beers, I always have to, qualify them as, okay, this is for competition. It's going to be very bitter, very hoppy. You probably won't like it.
That's what I give my wife. You probably won't like this, but do
it. But it'll win a medal.
It is too bitter.
This
too
one?
Too bitter, too unbalanced for a pale ale.
For a this pale.
Yeah.
And the reason is, as you go through the flight of beers and you have 10 different pale ales.
That's exactly right.
By pale ale number 8 that this one turns up as.
It's not so bitter.
it's just fine.
Jamil nailed
Maybe
it.
It's a touch too sweet.
Is it a little bit of a grassy hoppiness, too?
Excuse me?
Is it kind of a grassy hop?
Very grassy, because I dry hopped it.
And peppery, too.
Okay.
It's got a real peppery character.
You know what?
Yeah.
Jamil, you just nailed that. And that actually, I keep giving him credit, when credit is due. He actually...
Jim's giving Jamil a hand job. It's like hand jobs being passed all over there.
Seriously.
Got a hold of that
Jamil was giving me the...
This is scary.
Jamil was giving me the inside info on what the judges do, just a couple of years ago over, in the tasting room. We were checking out each other's beers.
Yeah.
And
it's not all you were checking
out. I was waiting for that. I left that one wide open.
Yeah.
Anyway, boom.
Go on.
Anyway, Meg, shut it. Anyway, wait, I'll do that right. Meg, shut it! So I married an axe murderer. Come on. You guys had to see that, right?
Love that
one. Yes.
That great one. Anyway, Jamil's point was, by the time we've gotten to some of your beers, possibly, depending on where you are in the flight, dude, our palates are shot. I don't care how many crackers we chewed on.
Yeah.
We can't taste bitterness, perceive hoppiness. I mean, we're done.
Yeah, sure.
So you better make something, if you want it to win, go over the top. And that was always his, that was what he told me. And
that's a good point.
I do tend to make my pails a little more bitter and a little more hoppy, understatement of the year, but...
Well, basically what he was saying, it's way overhopped. It's nasty for a pale and that.
Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, but.
Glad you enjoyed the beer.
No.
Would you like another? Because I've got more.
No, but as far as being in style, it's way out of style. But you got that palate thing that just dies. And by the 8th beer, the 8th thing, they can't taste it anymore. Like I call it the palate killer. And
you put a big IPA in there.
So you go, like you said, over the top, just enough to be within style, but to stand out by you're the 8th beer.
It's kind of a reverse. Yeah, you're going for that
The palate fatigue and try to overcome that.
Because if I made a normal pail, which would, you know, it was just my beer being tasted,
yeah,
sure. But it's not that way.
It's also luck of the draw, because if you were the first pale ale in the run, you'd
well,
die.
Well, I may get, you know, yeah,
but,
exactly.
But you die in that competition. Oh. Where if you're the eighth one, you shine. And
well, and this is counter to everything I tell people, which is, you know, brew to the, within the style and brew, you know, don't go over on the gravity, don't go over on the hops, you know, brew honestly to the style. And, you know, when you're having a beer all by itself, it's yeah. a great beer and it's wonderful, and don't worry about competition.
Yeah.
But it really sucks for IPAs, pale ales, things like that, where sure. they're extreme.
Mm-hmm. I'll even do it in here. We'll have just four different beers, never mind sitting there for a day of tasting, and I'll come up with some flavor that I tasted, and Doc will be like, no, jackass, that's from the beer you just tasted. It's still in your mouth from the flavor. So imagine, I'm just saying, being there for a whole day of doing, yeah. you know, 20, 30, 40 tastings. Yeah. And there's a, you know, and even Jamil will say, he said it before, you know, there's a big part of competition that's a crapshoot. You know, a lot of it is going to be a subjective type of thing. And then, you know, and other parts of it aren't going to be subjective at all. But, you know, getting to that final level, there's a lot of subjectivity in who the judge is and what they're tasting. And then hopefully when it gets down to like the last, you know, I don't know, 5-10 beers, you're getting a good honest opinion, because maybe the palates have had a, you know, a time to take a break, and there's less beers that they got to run through.
Well, and it's, you know, out of 20 beers, that last five beers are five great beers.
Right, right.
And then it's kind of, okay, who's jockeying for position based on that? But you must brew a real clean, great beer
just to get there.
Well, okay. It's got to be a great beer to even get up there to get jockeying around to what's going to be. Jim said something quite profound. He listens to the judges for the next round. They say they want a little more of this, a little less of that. He listens to it.
Yeah, I do. I based, you know, if my beers have evolved over, you know, over time based on what the judges' opinions, what they ask for. And it's not like this pale isn't something that I really want to drink on a Saturday afternoon out in front. I mean, it's a little too bitter for me. It's a little too, dare I say, hoppy, but you know, it's just, it's not really something that's, you know, thirst quenching to me. But it is for my competitions, and it seems to do all right. So, you know, I'm sticking with that for competitions.
Danielle, you got a question from the chat room?
Yeah, we got a question regarding your all-grain pale ale, Jim. The question is, what mash temp, water-to-grain ratio, and what yeast do you use?
Okay, for the yeast first, generally I like, for my pales, the 002, the White Labs, the English.
That's the English pale?
Yeah, the English pale. It's a little more malty. I've been playing around with the 07 lately, which is also the English.
Okay.
The drier version.
Okay.
You know, I've been playing around with both of those. What was the water?
The water to mash temp, is that what it was?
No, the ratio, water to grist ratio.
Like 10, like...
1.3
yeah,
1.2 per pound.
1.2 yeah. average usually.
What is the water to grist ratio?
It has to do with how thick the mash is.
Okay.
So, and you can play with that back and forth if you're an all-grain brewer. And it really has to do with how the enzymes react in the thicker mash or a thinner mash.
Exactly.
And so by thick or thin, are you talking the amount of grain you have? Like 2 pounds per
water.
Okay, so 5 pounds to whatever amount of water.
Well, it goes in pounds per quart.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just a ratio. I mean, you're a thick mash or a thin mash, basically.
So basically a 1-to-1 is kind of thick.
The lower the yeah, yeah.
So a one quart to 1 pound is a little on the thick side.
Okay, I'm with you.
1-to-2, 1-to-3, it's getting on the thinner side.
Okay.
And what was the other question? Temperature for the mash?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the mash temp.
I like to try to hit...
And do you do any single infusion mash?
Single infusion, and I like to hit about 154-ish, around there, 154, 153. That's what I shoot for, and I like to let that sit for an hour.
Okay. We got to get moving, guys. I'm going to fire a couple quick questions at you, and hopefully we can get through them quick, because we got to do our competition for our four finalists to win a full kegging system courtesy of Northern Brewer. And we might get Northern Brewer calling in here, too, in the next couple of minutes. I know he wanted to talk to you guys and just kind of say congratulations to the four finalists and get you rolling. I'm going to give you the details of that just before we take a break. We're going to take a break after I do these questions and then get on with the competition. Any of you guys can answer this. Is liquid extract less fermentable than dry extract? This coming in from the chat room. And I assume we're talking liquid compared to DME? That's the dry extract.
There's no difference there. It depends on the extract maker. So the most fermentable extracts you can get are Breese and Alexander's or Sun Country or, you know, the...
And those are both, neither...
Liquid or dry.
Doesn't matter.
Dry tends to be more, doesn't get stale as fast. So dry is actually better for that. Liquid, if it's sat for a long time, will go stale quickly.
I mean, liquid is just dry in suspension.
So okay.
You're going to get different yield per pound, too.
Okay.
Because liquid has more water in it, so you're going to get less yield per pound.
I see. So then, because dried is more concentrated... It's still just a ratio, though. It's not saying that it's more or less fermentable.
No. Right, right.
It's just a ratio of how much you need.
How fermentable it is depends on the long chain sugars that they did when they mashed. So when you mash, you're making extract the same as they are.
Okay.
And then some of the manufacturers like Breese understands you need a fermentable extract.
Yeah.
And they'll mash to make it fermentable, and then they'll dry it down to liquid, or they'll dry it down to dry. It's the same mash that happened, and they're the same fermentability.
Okay. What is maybe, John, you want to maybe touch on this to start with and let these other guys come in because you sell a lot of it. What's the cleanest extract?
The cleanest?
Yeah, that's the question. I know that you're a big fan of the Maris Otter extract now that you can get now, right? Just as not a brand, but a kind.
That's kind of an open question.
Alexander's Ultra Pale or the Breese Golden.
Okay.
The Ultra Light, you mean, or Ultra Pale?
Yeah.
What would they be meaning by cleanest?
I don't know. But those are the ones that are the most fermentable, the least flavor, and, you know, they're going to ferment out. And, you know, if you want nothing, ferment sugar.
Gotcha.
So one of the main things is to start out with the lightest extract you can and add your steeping grains, things like that, instead of going to an amber extract or a dark extract and forgoing all the other grains.
Create your own.
Yeah, create your own. You're going to get the color, get the flavor from the grains you add to it, but you kind of have to start with the lightest extract you can find.
Exactly.
Okay. Jim?
Yes, sir.
Fly or batch sparge? What do you do?
The question of the week.
Define both of those, please.
You're asking the wrong guy, I'll tell you that.
I fly. I haven't done the batch. I've read about it. I was interested in it in the beginning.
What's a fly sparge?
That's where you're continuously putting water on top as you're pulling off the bottom, where batch sparge.
Traditional.
You dump it all out, put all new water back into the mash, and then do it again.
Okay.
Yeah, and the batch sparging is a relatively new thing. Guys are, you know, within the past few years. I actually, when I bought my system, was going to go with that. I was thinking about it. It's just, it's supposed to be like a time saver.
What I thought, it was a time saver, and you know what? It wasn't.
Really? So, no. I never tried it. I read about it, but anyway.
I wanted something to save me some time on doing the mash, the sparging, and it didn't.
Yeah, you just basically fill the mash tun with water, and then you let it drain.
Okay.
You know.
And then fill it again, let it set, and then do it again.
Okay.
You use a lot more grains doing it, so.
Which isn't the issue so much. I tried that, too. I tried to up it by 10%, and it really, the time factor, what's going to save me 15 minutes? So.
All right. Yeah, last one. Can I do this one to you, Jamil? Yeah. When streaking a slant.
Streaking.
Yeah. I've never streaked a slant, but I'm not going to say I've never streaked.
How many people have streaked?
I'm actually surprised to see Jamil, one of the first hands to go up in the studio, of how many people have streaked here. When streaking a slant, why is it so important not to touch the side?
All right, couple of things. One is when you're talking about streaking, you're usually talking about streaking plates. So that's the big motion across the plate to get down to a single yeast cell.
Okay.
When you are making a slant, you're going inside a test tube, and you don't want to touch the sides because you're going to drop some of your yeast off on the sides of the tube. There's no nutrient there, and what's going to happen is the yeast is going to die. It's going to cough up all its guts and, you know, be a harbor for bacteria, et cetera, et cetera. So you want to get it onto the nutrient. You want to go with a very slight. You won't see anything on your loop when you properly do a slant. You're dropping in just, you know, a cell or two into that test tube at an angle on the media there.
Okay. All right. I got to do another last one because it just got sent to me, and it's on topic here. If you increase your water volume, will you convert faster?
And he always said that he starts with 6 gallons mesh, and he found that the grain converts faster.
and then in the end the volume is less than 5 gallons.
Actually, you got to look at your pounds to water ratio. And we were talking about quarts to pounds. When it's thinner, the idea here is that the enzymes have to go looking for things to convert. And when it's a more of a concentrated mash, actually the enzymes are more compacted. They're protected too from the heat dissipation. So thick mash, and a lot of times is better with that.
Okay.
So they don't have to go hunt around for something to cleave.
Okay. Speaking of I Married an Axe Murderer, you don't got to go looking around for something to cleave.
Yes.
Meg!
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. Daniela, do we have all four of our contestants in the chat room?
I've kept asking. I think we don't.
How many do we have?
Two.
Okay.
That's so bad. Call your friend.
Well, but that doesn't mean anything yet.
It doesn't mean anything.
I think if
you're listening, you've got a chance then. If you're one of our four finalists, then why don't we go ahead and name our four finalists?
I believe we have Jamie and Henry in the chat room already.
Okay.
And we really need David Mitchell and Craig Hurley in the chat room now, because the chat might be critical on this game.
Okay.
So,
but you're saying that of our four finalists, we've only got two in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Jamie, Henry, David, and Craig, we need you in the chat room now after the break, please.
Okay. Now, if you're not in the chat room and you are tuned in, that's okay, but you're going to have to call us and let us know, and it's 888-401-BEER. Basically, here's what's going to happen. John and I had a long discussion about this because we were trying to figure out, you know, we wanted to do it right and make sure that our four finalists got in there. But we have given you lots of notice that this is the show and this is where we're giving it away. So let us know you're out there. If you're not out there, you know, really the only thing we can do is eliminate you from competition. Because I can't postpone the show and let these finalists that are hanging out there. So let us know you're there. I hope you are, because you've waited 5-6 weeks for this. You made it through the drawing. You're the finalists of 12 people that we qualified. We got four of you out there. So let us know you're there. We already know the two in the chat room that Daniela mentioned. We need the other two. That might be one of them calling in right now. We want to make sure you're there. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to draw your names at the break. And what we're going to do is we're drawing your name for the order that you're going to play the game. Okay? So it's just as fair and as random and statistically fair as we could do it for you. We're going to draw your name. And then we'll tell you when we come back. That's the order that you're going to play the game with us. And I don't want to tell you the game yet, even though I'm totally excited about it. It's going to be a lot of fun. I just don't want you all to cheat and go out there and figure out how to do it before I tell you. So take a quick break. Let us know that you're there, two of you, the ones we haven't found. And when we come back, we're going to be playing Who Wants to Build a Kegerator right here on the Brewing Network, courtesy of Northern Brewer at northernbrewer.com. Jim Rossi's in the studio with us, too. It's going to be a good time.
The Brewing Network, saving your life. One beer at a time.
That's right, and we're about to save some lucky bottling man's life by giving away a full kegging system from Northern Brewer. And I'm excited about this. I've been excited about it for a while. I'm happy to get people off of the bottling track and onto the kegging track, because it really does save a lot of time.
But is Daniela excited?
Of course.
I am very excited. Thank you for asking.
I like that, yes.
That's the whole wetness question.
Yeah, what's
right?
your wetness factor, Daniela?
If I only knew.
Yeah, there's got to be some measurement for that, right?
Absolutely.
I'm sure the Germans have figured it out.
I'm sure. We all figured it all out.
You guys measure everything over
And we
there.
Do. Very technical people. You know that.
It's got to be within limits.
Well, I tell you, I'm really enjoying Jim's beers here. He's just poured this.
We're drinking the rye, right?
IPA. Well, you're behind us. Now I'm on to the IPA.
Oh, he's
actually,
wow.
No. That's actually the amber.
But
everything's
so
an IPA.
Damn hoppy.
He said it was too hoppy.
It is. It's way too hoppy for an amber. But you
so
know,
what a wonderful
is that
aroma
what this is
though,
here?
Jim.
It's just about the color. That's why it's an amber.
Okay. So here's the deal, guys. We had our four picked. We did a nice fair drawing last week during the Super Bowl show. Sent emails to every one of them and let everybody know that this was the giveaway show. We've only got two of our four that we drew last week in the chat room.
Your odds are good.
Well, no, we're gonna have to be fair about it and do a new drawing is what we're gonna do. So the two of you that are in the chat room, you're golden. Don't sweat it. You're in. But we're gonna draw two more names. If the two that we draw are in the chat room, that'll work. We'll try to keep drawing until we get two more and find you guys in the chat room there. If you're not there, we're just going to do it however many people we got. You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And I've asked like 5 times now and given them last chances to say hi to me. Nobody has replied. So I think we're good. I think you're not around tonight.
Okay. And that's fine. And I just don't want to keep it down to two because we said we'd have 4 finalists. And that's what I'd like to do, to give 4 people a good chance to win.
Now, and the problem is we're not just drawing tonight again. They will actually have to do something.
They're probably competing for drunk of the week.
What can I do to be in this contest? Because I'm ready. You need 4. I'm
you're ready.
Me and myself are just 2, okay?
Jim, you will get to help. As I explain how the game goes, you're going to find out exactly how you're going to get to help this contest along.
Daniela, what's Oz say about this whole thing?
Nothing.
Not a thing. Silent
come
Oz
on,
today.
Come on, Oz.
Oz is hungover.
Pipe up.
Okay.
He was talking about a recipe, though, that you gave to, that he's going to give to you. He placed on a competition.
Yep.
Oh, excellent. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is it a wit?
I think so. Yep.
Yeah, I figured so. He likes his wits, and so do I.
He did a good job on
it. Oz is a great guy. He's really
I think you're going to really like the style show. I've got big things planned for it. I got some cool secrets going.
We're changing the name that week to The Ho Show with Doc.
The Ho Show.
It's not going to be the Jameel Show.
Come Ho with Doc.
It's going to be The Ho Show. Nailing hoes for 1 hour. That's what we're going to do. All right. And then also, it's not fair of us. I know Kegless Caleb is his new name, by the way, one of our 12 contestants.
Yo, Kegless.
He is so much fun, that guy. I love him. He's a really nice guy.
He's a good guy. Sent us an email this week to every one of us, by the way, and wanted to thank us for having – he loves the show and has a great time and just wanted to thank us for – you know, he was our drunk of the week last week, and I pretty much named him like our official drunk of the week until he's dethroned. And anyway, he had called in and said, hey, let me back in the competition. And I do apologize, Kegless Caleb. It's not fair of me just to say, hey, yeah, you're in.
He's freaking out in this chat room. He's like freaking out. Really, he called himself Kegless Caleb now.
Well, we got to, you know.
He's typing gibberish.
Well, you don't know. Maybe we like draw him. Who knows?
Sorry.
Freaking out.
Wrong one.
Right. Freaking out.
So here, I'm sorry I can't just pick you. Getting a little out of hand here. Let's get right back on track. We're just going to draw names and then hope that we find somebody. So Daniela, why don't you go ahead and draw the names?
I would like to ask Anna to come over here as a neutral person to draw 2 names.
Okay. John's girlfriend Anna's in the studio with us today. She is neutral. She doesn't care who wins, and she's going to pick the name. 1 at a time, please. And then Daniela, please read the name. And we'll see if
they're
tuned
in. So official.
Okay. Yes, what have you got for a new contestant?
Wouldn't believe it. You
all right, I swear to God that everybody please in the studio vouch
please,
that
everybody.
Anna pulled this name at random. Kegless Caleb is now back in the running.
That is unbelievable, seriously, everybody out there, Anna, and this is why I picked Anna. I want it to be neutral, and it is Caleb.
Brewer's code, Brewer's honor, friends. We just picked that at random. Kegless Caleb, you're back in the running. And
excellent.
And that's cool, because he's in the chat room, too. I was worried we're going to draw a bunch of names, and none of them are here anyway.
He's typing fast now, baby.
Hey, good work, Anna. Okay, you're going to have to draw one more now. Danielle is shaking up the pitcher, and she's now drawing the final name. Hopefully, it will be a person that's with us today.
And the name is Frank Luddy.
Frank Luddy. If you're tuned in today, either jump in the chat room and say it's you there, or call us at 888-401-BEER. If not, we'll keep drawing until we get to 4th. And as we're doing that, I'm going to start to tell you a little bit about what we got going on today. All right. The game that we're going to play is called Who Wants to Build a Kegerator? And the one of you lucky 4 out there is going to get to take home a full kegging system minus the kegerator. Apologize about that, but it's just the way it goes. A full kegging system courtesy of Northern Brewer at northernbrewer.com, and we're happy to give that to you, and they were nice enough to give it over to us so we can give it out to you. So you're going to play Who Wants to Build a Kegerator, and it is going to be a trivia type of game, okay? And it's going to be modeled after the, of course, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire type of game. So what we've got in front of us are 20 questions, okay? And we are going to, at random, draw your name from a hat. There will be 4 of you. And what we're drawing for is the order in which you get to play, okay? And it'll just draw, and that's the order. So, for example, the first person that's drawn will be the first person to play the game, and he'll just pick 5 questions at random. We've set them out randomly, and the reason we did this is because we could have all sat around here and decided what we thought was a difficult question or a simple question, but what's difficult to us is not difficult to others, and vice versa.
I thought they were all simple.
Doc thinks they're all simple. So we thought what we do is just mix them all up, and that way it's a crapshoot of the five questions you get. If you're lucky, if the sun is shining on your ass today, you'll get five of the easiest questions on the board.
And your flight better be to Vegas in the morning.
But hopefully it'll be a nice and even thing. The second person who gets drawn, of course, will only have 15 questions to choose from, and then the third will only have 10, and so on and so forth. If we have a tie, we will pull another round, depending on how many people we have. And if we end up with subsequent ties past three rounds, we're going to do a sudden death round. Daniela, do we have a fourth contestant?
We do have all of our four contestants now in a chat room.
Okay, now is it the new one you just drew?
Yes, it's the new ones that all we right. Caleb was in there already, and Frank Lottie was too. His name is Chaos.
Chaos. All right. Hey, lucky day for you two that the other guys didn't show up, huh?
Yeehaw, baby.
All right. Good for you. I'm glad that you're in the running, and I'm glad you get to play Who Wants to Build a Kegerator right here on the Brewing Network, courtesy of Northern Brewer. Okay.
I think one of our rules was also that the chat room needs to be very defensive about answering the questions tonight, because we don't want our finalists to have the chance to read what those guys are saying.
Yes, I do have to do a whole spiel about that. That's true, Daniela.
On the same token, don't put up the wrong answers.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you not to put up any answers. I'm going to instill the Brewing Network Brewer's Code once again, folks. You're going to have to use your honor and your brewer's honor, and please do not help these people cheat. We know that all of our contestants, while they're on the phone with us, have access to a computer. So they both can be looking at the chat room. So if you guys are throwing answers out in there as we're asking the questions, it's going to be an unfair advantage to the other contestants.
Unless you really like one of the contestants and the other guys are bastards. Go ahead.
That's right. Thank you, Jameel. I liked Silent Jameel better.
I know the code room, the chat room code is...
it's very different than the brewer's code.
Exactly. Helping people you like and fuck the people you don't care for.
It really is. It's an interesting point Jameel makes. The chat room code is a different code than the brewer's code. But I am going to instill brewer's code, guys. Please, even if you know the answer, if you just want to have fun, that's I appreciate it. But
shut the hell up.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. At the same time, those of you contestants that are out there, you're going to be on the phone with us as you're answering your five questions. I am going to ask you to do the same thing and not sit with a Google screen in front of you. Okay? You can't Google the questions that we give you. Remember that you're all competing for a pretty good prize here, and I want it to be fair. Okay? So don't sit there with a Google in front of you. With that said, I will only give you 20 seconds after I finish the question, actually, to answer the question, just in case some of you don't feel like following the Brewer's Code. And finally, with that said, we will give you two lifelines, okay? I'm sorry, I take that back. You get one lifeline per contestant, okay? But you get to choose from two different choices, okay? And I'll give you those choices in a minute. So you're not going to need to do your Google search. You're not going to need to cheat, because if there is some question that you really just can't answer, you're going to have a chance to pull a lifeline, okay? The lifelines we have for you today are Ask Jameel or Jim. Okay, so you're going to get five questions asked to you, and if one of them you're real stumped on, you can choose to ask Jameel or Jim. But here's the deal with that. Once you choose that choice, whatever answer they give is your final answer. They have not seen the questions, neither one of them. That will be your final answer. Okay? The second thing that you're going to get to choose from, if you want this to be your lifeline, and remember, you only get to choose one, is ask the chat. Okay? And in this case, I don't care what the chat Googles. They can Google, they can type away, they can do whatever they want, but they're all going to type in an answer, and you're going to have to choose one of them. You are not allowed to Google yourself. You can either ask Jameel or Jim, or you can ask chat. All right? Those are your two lifelines, and I'll remind you of them as we go if you're on your five questions and you're real stumped. The main things that you need to remember are that you only have 20 seconds from the time I finish asking a question to give an answer. I will then ask you for your final answer. If you don't have one, we'll move on to the next question, and that will be a wrong question. And that's just to try to keep you guys from cheating. That's all. All right. What do you think? Did everybody here understand it? Because if you guys didn't understand it, those guys at home certainly didn't.
Are these multiple choice?
Some of them will be multiple choice questions, and some of them will not be. It's kind of
freaking out.
Absolutely.
They're on my double IPA now, so don't expect much.
Freaking out.
So if we can have the lovely Anna come back over to help Daniela out, we're going to draw from the four names. And what we're drawing now is the order in which you get to play. Okay. Exactly. The first one drawn, and it's completely random, will be the first to play. And then you'll get to just pick what you'll just what you'll do is you'll get on the phone with us and you'll just call out a number, like give me question number 10. And you get to pick five of them, and then so on and so forth until there are no more questions. All right, so Danielle is now shaking up the names. Anna, blindly, eyes closed, picking a name. Danielle now has it. Who is our first contestant?
The first contestant is Henry Haskell, also known as Trouble Brewing.
Okay.
Henry Haskell, please call into the studio now, 1-888-401-BEER.
Thank you, Henry Haskell. Okay, and we can go on drawing for the final three contestants in the order in which they will play.
The next one to go is Frank Luddy, also known as Chaos. That's the second contestant.
Okay, that's number two.
And then Anna, please draw. And the third contestant will be Kegless Caleb.
All right, Caleb, you're number three. If you understood what I was saying, you will only have 10 questions left to choose from.
And then the guy who has 5 questions left is Jamie.
Jamie.
Also known as Brew Crew.
You will not get to pick the questions, only the order in which you want to take them, because you will only have 5 questions left when you get there. That's the only fair way we can do it. 888-401-BEER is the number. We'll tell you when to call, and I think we have our first contestant calling on the phone right now. Now, I'll tell you guys, I'm excited about Who Wants to Build a Kegerator. I don't know about you folks, but I used to love Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. It's a good game, right?
Oh, yeah.
You get to use the lifeline and do all the fun stuff.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah, that's my final answer. I didn't exactly like, what's his douche? What's his name?
Regis.
Regis. Yeah, he's not my favorite broadcaster on the planet, but
I'm sure you're not his favorite either.
I think you're absolutely right. Have we got our first contestant here, Daniela?
Maybe we get Regis on here.
He's out of control!
Oh, and by the way, all four contestants will be winning a prize today.
Really?
Yes, all four contestants will win a prize, but only the number one player will win the full kegging system.
What are the other three prizes?
We've got, what do we got, John?
Lovely parting gifts. Tell us about it, John.
Go ahead, John.
Pardo. Yeah.
Doc's underwear.
John Pardo.
Doc's underwear for number two.
Very
Doc's
nice.
Lipstick for
Doc's
three.
Lipstick for three.
Yeah. That's great.
Now, what do we got for our other for the other three?
Recipe and yeast, second prize, and a $20 gift certificate.
For third prize?
Third prize, yeah.
Okay. And the Brewing Network, we will be giving away not a Brewing Network t-shirt, but some other sort of random t-shirt that we probably have around here somewhere for fourth prize.
Out of my closet?
Well, I think we've got a couple of good prizes
that
still up on our
prize,
shelf.
Yes.
Yeah, so all fourth, right. you'll win a t-shirt.
I think we have to raffle that one off.
It's a thong! A thong t-shirt.
Well, I just want to say good luck to everybody.
Okay. Yes. Thank you, Daniela. And caller, you're on the air.
Okay, it's Henry.
Hey, Henry, how are you?
I'm doing very well.
All right, did you understand the rules of the game?
I think so.
Okay, are you excited or what?
I'm very excited.
Okay, now here's what you get to do. I've got 20 questions in front of me. I cannot see what the questions are. I only see the number. And you get to pick, just in whatever order you want, which number question you want. Are you ready to play Who Wants to Build a Kegerator?
I'm ready.
All right. Please pick your first question.
Number 8.
Doc, if you would please, as Vanna White would do, hand me the questions as they pick the number, I would appreciate that.
I would love to do that.
All right,
you're
Henry.
Looking sweet.
Watch
Doc.
Your hands, Doc.
Now, Henry, from the time that I asked this question, you have 20 seconds to answer.
Okay.
And you do remember that you can't Google it.
Yes.
And I also want you to remember that after the 20 seconds, if you haven't answered and I ask for your final answer, you are allowed to choose one of your lifelines at any time.
And I have how many lifelines?
You get one. You will only get to use one.
I'm too drunk to Google anyway.
Very good.
So are we.
And I trust you, Henry.
That should be a bumper sticker. Too okay. drunk to Google.
Okay. Henry, your first question. It's multiple choice. Beer cans were not invented until 1933. It took so long because of A, prohibition, B, exploding beer, C, sour beer, or D, consumer resistance.
I would say because of consumer resistance.
Is that your final answer?
That is.
That is not correct, sir.
Oh.
It was actually due to exploding beer. They were having trouble with the packaging process at that time, and they couldn't keep them contained. Please pick another question, Henry.
Number 9.
Okay. Vanna? Thank you, Dr.
There
Vanna.
There you go.
Your next question is also a multiple choice question.
Okay.
In what year did Pabst become the first brewer to sell over 1 million barrels in a year? A, 1750, B, 1790, C, 1850, or D, 1890?
I'll go with 1850.
Is that your final answer?
That is.
That's not correct. It was actually in 1890 was when. Okay, you've got three questions left. And, hey, remember, everybody's got to do this, Henry, so you're still in this.
Doc got that right.
Please pick another question.
You did the questions.
And remember the lifeline.
Which one?
Number 10?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Anna, you're falling behind.
This is not a multiple choice question. Henry, give an example of a kettle fining agent. A fining agent.
A fining agent. A kettle fining agent would be Irish moss.
Correct, sir. That is a kettle fining agent, and you have now put yourself on the board.
Excellent.
Woo!
Yeah.
At least one question out of five. You have two picks remaining, my friend.
Number 11.
Okay, number 11 it is. Sorry, Doc, that was in arm's reach, so I just grabbed it myself.
Yeah, right.
Okay. This
let,
is not
let go, let go.
This is not a multiple choice question, Henry.
All right.
From what part of brewing did the words rule of thumb come from?
Oh, it had to do with the temperature of the temperature, I'll say.
Okay. You have a little more time to elaborate.
Okay, the oh, boy. I remember on one of your archives it had to do with the temperature of something. Let's say...
I need your final answer now, please.
Okay, temperature of pitching.
Okay. I'm going to have to say, I think, and I'll let everybody here vote on it, but please, you know, realize that everybody's playing. The actual answer is before thermometers, brewers would place a thumb inside their beer to check temperatures. You couldn't check temperature without a thermometer. So the rule of thumb came from placing your thumb inside. Will you accept his answer of it has to do with temperature as the answer?
Yeah.
And everybody in here...
We've all been drinking.
Everybody in here can vote. I will ask you to place your thumb sideways right now. You will put your thumb
vote
up...
For me!
You'll put your thumb upwards to accept the answer and down not to. Please go ahead. Everybody except for me, because I'm an asshole, voted yes for you, Henry.
Who wants to be an asshole?
you get that. That is answered correctly. You now have two out of your five, and this will be...
I think more precisely it would have been temperature of the mash, but it was temperature, period. So
temperature of beer, you know.
No, it was,
if you had four out of five already, we probably would have gone against you, but since you only had one...
Yeah,
you know,
and it was temperature, period. You know what room temperature is? Your thumb temperature, you know what hot was.
And it could have been pitching. It could have been.
And if I hadn't broke out the double IPA, you probably wouldn't have got it.
I wasn't there 100 years ago to say, you're doing it wrong. Bring it in.
All right.
And also, Henry, please remember your lifeline, Chen. So if you don't know the next question, just choose the lifeline.
You do have a lifeline.
Thank you for recommending that.
Yes.
Okay, that's right. Okay.
And I did vote up on you. So. Good.
But he got it, though, didn't he?
Justin's
the
one that hates you.
Good job, Henry. Yeah. Good job.
Send him a bomb.
Did we just get Doc's life story on that thing, or what?
I'm throwing in a case of my honey pail for that one just because, okay? Give me your address.
I'm so excited. It's unbelievable.
It's a lot of fun. I'm having fun here. What's your final question you'd like to choose?
Number 12.
Okay. Thank you, Vanna. Doc?
I was quick on that one.
Your final question, and this is not a multiple choice question. Are you ready, Henry?
Yes.
Okay. Mac Ol claims to be the most northerly brewery in the world. What country is it in? Mac Ol.
I'll use my lifeline.
Okay.
And I'll use Jameel.
You would like to choose Jameel to answer the question.
Good choice.
Jameel, what country does Mac Ol brew in?
Ah, crap. You know, so.
Right!
What was the question again?
So, first off, I want to say how kind Doc has been sharing his microphone with me and also sharing his very fine beers with me. So, that Belgian Strong, plus Jim's, the Double IPA.
Come on, it's Berkeley, Jameel. It's Berkeley.
I should have said your lifeline was Drunken Jameel.
Yeah. You got Silent Jamil or you got Drunken Jamil?
Say the question again, please.
Freaking out.
I would venture to say that Drunken Jamil is still more qualified than most of the people in this room to answer this question.
So it's going to be one of those northern...
Oh, man.
It's gonna be one of those.
You know, for me.
I got buddies in Finland that bring me all sorts of different beers, and I don't remember it from Finland.
Jamil, your final answer, please.
I would go with Norway.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
Norway is correct.
Very good.
Woo!
I told you, Drunken Jamil is still well qualified.
Wow.
Go Jamil.
I just want to say again, if somebody picks a lifeline, he's only allowed to take that answer. You cannot have a different answer anymore.
That is correct.
This is why everybody can shout it out in the chat room.
So drunk Jamil is good.
Yeah, Drunk Jamil is awesome. So
how
Henry.
How many out of five did Henry get?
Doesn't hurt sitting next to Dr.
Three out of five.
Three out of five, my friend.
That's pretty good.
That's nice work. Okay, we're going to move on to our next contestant. Thank you for playing, and hang in there now.
We actually thought you'd get none out of
Don't
five.
Don't go away, because if there's a tie, you're going to have to do this again.
All right, I'll be in the chat room.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
There you go. Our first contestant gets three out of five. I'm getting nervous here about a lot of ties going on.
You never know.
You never do know.
Because that's what the random question thing is here. Yeah. We got 20 questions, and...
Yeah. Who is our next contestant, Daniela?
Our next contestant is Frank Luddy, also known as Chaos. Chaos, please call in now.
888-401-BEER. While you're doing that, we're going to sit in silence and enjoy a drink.
What?
No, it's not going to happen.
No, that's too boring.
I'll tell you, Jim's double IPA, it's got a wonderful balance between the malt and the hops and the bitterness and the alcohol, just all going on.
I'm still on the amber.
Double IPA, that's about as flawless a balance as you can get in the beer.
Really?
It was missing a little bit of the aroma, I thought, and Jim thinks as well.
Can I have some of that, please?
But other than that, sorry, you missed out. The bottles are empty.
I have one more right here for you, bro.
You need to do that for me, Jim. Every time you give out a bottle, stash one for me, will you? I appreciate that.
There you go.
Okay.
Wrote a song about it like that. Yeah, here you go.
Is this our next one? Caller? You there, buddy?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm trying to turn down this computer. Right?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, turn the volume down.
Where'd it go, though? Give me just a second. All right.
Oh, hey. What's happening?
Nothing. Just having a few beers, hoping to win the skating system.
Are you feeling lucky?
Sure. I'm going to need luck.
All right. So we're talking to Chaos, right?
That's it.
Chaos, do you understand the rules of the game?
Sure.
Okay. You've got some numbers left, and you get one lifeline. You can either choose the chat or Jamil or Jim. Okay? You only get to use it once, and you got 20 seconds to answer after I finish asking the question. Please pick your first number.
Two.
Number two. Vanadoc, could you please hand me number two? It's going to be behind all those bottles of empty beer over there. And do not show it to Jamil as it's passing by in case that is the pick. Okay.
Sorry, it was upside down. It confused me.
Okay.
I'm hoping it's multiple choice.
This one is a multiple choice, Chaos, so you're in luck. All right. Which of the following beers is not a wit beer? Blanc de Bruxelles, a Hoegaarden, Dentigerms, or De Koninck? And I probably pronounced them all wrong, man.
Oh, jeez.
Blanc de Bruxelles, Hoegaarden, Dentigerms, or De Koninck?
We're going to go with Dentigerms.
That's your final answer.
That's my only answer.
Good enough. Actually, that's not true. It's De Koninck. Is that right, Doc and Jamil? De Koninck is not a wit beer.
Yep.
Okay, thank you. I didn't need to check with you. I just thought I'd let you chime in. Okay, so your first one is wrong. Please remember that you do have a lifeline if you don't know the answer. Please pick your next question.
Seven.
Steven.
Thank you, Dr. Vanna. Number seven, this is not a multiple choice question. What town did the style alt originate in?
Style alt.
Yes.
Exactly.
What town did the style alt originate in?
I'm going to go with alt.
Lifeline time.
Pick a lifeline. Pick a lifeline.
The answer is actually Dusseldorf.
Dusseldorf.
Dusseldorf is it. I'm going to ask the studio audience, please, to keep their whispering to a non-existent thing. Okay? Because I can hear you.
To a non-existing thing, huh?
Yes. In other words,
shut the hell up.
Shut up. Please pick another one. Chaos.
Nine.
Okay.
Number nine.
Number nine.
Been gone.
Already been taken.
No. You can't have nine. 11. You can't have it. Nine on nine.
Already been taken.
11's been taken.
Try 13 and up.
Yeah, 13 through 20 are still here, or
okay,
1 through 6.
Then.
Number 13. Lucky 13.
Yeehaw, baby.
Chaos goes for. This one is multiple choice. Of the only seven Trappist breweries in the world, which of these is not one of them? Orval, Westmalle, Leffe, or Chimay?
Oh, shit. Somebody wake Jamal up.
All right. Would you like to use a lifeline?
Yeah.
And you want to use Jamil?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm here too, man. Come on.
Okay, Jamil.
I think this is Jim's.
He asked for you. That's his lifeline. He's got to give it to you. It's his choice. He's the contestant. Which of these is not a Trappist brewery? Orval, Westmalle, Leffe, or Chimay? Only Jamil gets to answer.
I'm saying Jim.
I know you are, but he picked you. And he's the one.
Jim says.
He's the one fighting for the keggy system.
What did Jim say?
You have 10
number
seconds.
Number three, Uki.
So Jim says Leffe.
6 seconds.
Is that your final answer?
That's what Jim says.
Leffe is correct.
Oh, you win.
Yay.
Yes, sir.
Yay.
That's one, and you have two left, my friend. Two left.
He can tie still.
Two Leffe.
Yes. Go ahead, please. Pick another number.
15.
15. All right. This is not a multiple choice question, and all of your lifelines are gone. What is the formula for calculating alcohol by volume using specific gravity? Go ahead.
Oh, shit. Oh, fuck, I forget.
You still have 10 seconds.
I don't know. You think you're starting, you're finishing, and, geez, I forget. I just punched in my computer, for Christ's sakes.
Okay, and time is up. I hit that accidentally.
Oh.
Yeah, that's not, it's that you have to subtract your final gravity from your original gravity and multiply by 0.129. I know it's a tough one, but it's also in the basics, and I thought I could throw it in there. Was that five?
0.129. Who the hell knows that? Come on.
Yeah. No, you got one more question, actually, but it doesn't matter, because even if he gets it right, yeah, it doesn't matter.
I knew that.
Humiliate me further.
0.129.
KS, thanks for playing the game. I'm sorry, man. I really am.
All right, buddy.
All right. Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. 9. 1, 2, 9.
I didn't realize I was going to feel bad about people not
Don't
winning.
Don't you worry.
I feel Chaos is a nice guy.
There's more games
You're
to come up
to
in the future.
Up
He's
there,
a very
I
nice
am.
Guy.
I feel so bad.
But you know what? How you got to see it? He didn't be drawn. Wasn't drawn in the first place, so he had another chance.
He had
tonight.
An extra chance. You're right.
You're not going to go in the field.
So don't
position,
feel too
you?
Bad.
I might. It's usually my first
it's
place.
It's critical.
I
can tell already.
As soon as I start getting emotional, I go right into the fetal position. I don't know what it is. I'm either completely non-emotional or I'm in the fetal position.
Chaos is such a fun guy in a chat room. He's fine.
Who's our next contestant?
Our next contestant is Kegless Caleb.
Kegless Caleb, our old drunken friend. 888-401-BEER. Please call us up now, and you can play Who Wants to Build a Kegerator? And by the way, I will be posting Doc's How to Build a Kegerator on the website tonight. It's already there. I put it up. I just didn't hit the send button. So it'll be there after the show. I'll have to do that before I start drinking with Jim, because I think we're going to have a good time here after the show's all over. We've got Jamil here hanging out. He's going to be here for a while because Jamil, being the upstanding citizen that he is, and I've actually seen this in practice, this man does not go anywhere near his car until he blows under 07, and he actually carries the breathalyzer with him. And Jamil, I appreciate that. And so do your kids and everybody else's kids, and you name it. I'm being serious here. Jamil actually carries a breathalyzer with him, and when he goes and he does tastings and whatnot, because a lot of people want him to taste their beer, even if I've seen him do this, even if he's only tasted like three beers, he'll go to his car, pull out his breathalyzer, and blow into the thing.
Smart. So you got a room for us tonight then, or what?
Absolutely. I got a whole spare room. I was standing next to Jamil. He had only done a few tastings, and he blew just over. He blew an 08. And he said, well, guess I'm waiting another hour.
You know, if Mad spent more time getting breathalyzers in people's hands rather than trying to lower the limit, because everybody out there, if you knew, you don't know what the limit is, and you don't know what you're blowing.
That's right.
Until you have one of these things. And if you knew, you wouldn't drive.
That's right.
So lowering the limit doesn't do anything. Just get breathalyzers in people's hands.
And then you know about it.
And then you're like, wow, I don't believe I'm blowing over that. And you learn pretty damn quick.
Yeah.
Nice.
Makes a big difference. And they're
Scotty
cheap.
Babe's got one, too.
Get yourself one. And, you know, just follow the
all right, I'm putting that on my list.
Yeah.
I'm
save
serious.
Lives
That's
and
nice.
Save money.
I like it.
I was with Jamil that night. He had only tasted a couple of beers, and we were both surprised to find that he blew an 08. And he said, well, guess I'm going back inside to have some water, and he did. So I'm saying a good example, and all of you at home need to do that, too. Go ahead.
I just wanted to add something to the game, actually, because as we're giving away prizes for place second, third, and fourth as well, we need sort of a rule for that as well. And the rule is only going to be that we draw out of the three people that are left, because it's kind of silly to say, okay, this person answered three, this person answered two, the other person answered three as well. So we're just going to draw for the other prizes.
Okay, we can do that. We'll
because
draw
like
for
now,
the
Chaos one. Said he didn't want to answer the last question, so he...
True.
You know?
Okay, so now you're right. Thank you, Daniela. You're right. We do have to draw then for the final three
pages. I think that's a fair thing
to do. And it's a kit and a gift certificate
exactly.
And a t-shirt. So everybody
will
win. They're
all sort of the same. And so we just draw.
Okay. My man, Kegless Caleb.
What up, man?
How are you this week, my friend?
I'm pretty well. You know what?
Yeah.
If I don't win this, maybe I can still win the Lifetime Achievement Award that I've been really thinking about this whole week.
Right. I'm going to tell you, and I'm sorry to do this to you, I almost hope that you don't win so I can keep calling you Kegless Caleb, because I think it's just a good name for you, man.
You could change it not to Kegless Caleb, but like Keggy Caleb.
Keggy Caleb, right. It's just not as catchy. So I'm not rooting for you, my friend.
Thanks, man. No.
All right, you've got 10 questions left to choose from. I know you guys haven't been keeping track.
I definitely haven't been.
You got 14 through 17, give or take a couple, and 1 through 6, give or take a couple. So why don't we go ahead and pick? And please remember, you do get one lifeline. You can either choose Jamil or Jim, or choose the chat.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Numero uno.
Number one. Number one, please, Vanadoc.
Number one.
Number one. Okay. Here we go. Now, the question for you, it will not be a multiple choice question. Okay?
Multiple choice, okay.
Not multiple choice. What brewery is owned by Fritz Maytag, scion of the washing machine family?
What brewery is owned by Maytag?
By Fritz Maytag. That's correct. His family.
And this is not a multiple choice?
Correct.
Damn. Fritz Maytag.
Now, please remember that you have a lifeline, but you only get to use it once. 5 seconds.
I'm going to have to use my lifeline now.
You'd like to use your lifeline. Okay. Which one would you like to use? Either ask Jamil or Jim, or ask the chat?
How's the chat work?
Basically, you'd put the question out to the chat, and then are you looking at the chat right now?
I'm not looking at the chat, no.
Then I would say do an Ask Jamil or Ask Jim, because you'd have to look at all their answers and pick one of them in the chat.
Ask Jim.
I see.
Okay.
I'm going to have to do Ask the Chat.
You want to ask the chat? Okay. So you're going to have to look at the chat. Are you looking at it?
Yeah, I'm there.
Okay. Chat, go ahead and please answer the question. What brewery is owned by Fritz Maytag? Now, and then, Caleb, you're going to have to choose one of the answers that they give.
How do you spell Maytag?
M-A-Y-T-A-G.
G as in George.
G as in G-Spot.
Doc is hammered, by the way.
G as in I've turned all of their microphones off anyway because of that damn thing beeping over there. So it doesn't matter.
What is that beeping? Everybody is complaining about that beeping.
And that's why I turned off the microphones. It's the breathalyzer that they're all having a good time with, trying to figure out who's the drunkest. I told you guys that story about I was in a bar in Arizona. And they.
Oh, wow. Hey, guys.
You got your answer?
I think I'm going to say Anchor.
Yeah.
And did you get that from the chat room?
What, have you seen the chat room?
Anchor is correct. You have four questions left and no more lifelines. Please choose another question.
Okay, how about, number one was pretty tough, so I'm going to go with number two because I'm hoping you, like, did these randomly.
Number two's gone.
Oh, okay.
Three or four or five or six are still there.
How about number four?
All right, number four, please, Doc. Doc and Jamil are blowing things together, by the way. I just want you all to know. This one is a multiple-choice question,
Caleb.
Multiple-choice,
okay.
Here we go. What English word comes from the ancient Sumerian word for beer? Yeah, we have an English word that comes from the ancient Sumerian word for beer. Is it A, ferment? B, cash, C, store, or D, liquid?
Liquid. Sumer, what country is
it? It's an ancient Sumerian. It was a civilization.
Sumerian.
Yes.
This is going to be totally random. Hell, okay. I know.
You have 10 seconds. Ferment, cash, store, or liquid?
No, I'm not going to say, I don't think it's liquid.
Please give us your final answer.
My final answer is going to be...
I'm going to cut you off here.
Ferment.
Okay. That's not true. It's actually cash. It's B, cash. The Sumerian word was K-A-S, cass. And
Damn,
we got the word cash. Yeah, that was a rough one.
That was a hard one, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ouch.
Luck of the draw.
Well,
okay,
well, that's why we do the random thing.
You've gotten one out of two right, so you're still good.
Yeah.
Go ahead and pick another number.
I got to get the rest correct, though?
Yes.
To tie,
you have to get two out of the next three. To
but we
win.
Don't know what the fourth contestant is going to do.
I'm on it, like, flies on shit.
Go ahead, please.
How about number 14?
Number 14 it is. Thank you, Vanna Doc.
No problem.
This one is a multiple choice question.
Multiple choice, all right.
For most beer drinkers, minimum IBU that bitterness becomes perceptible?
The minimum IBU that bitterness becomes perceptible.
Is it A, 3 IBUs, B, 5 IBUs, C, 8 IBUs, or D, 10 IBUs?
What was the third one?
8 IBUs or 10 IBUs?
I'm sorry, I didn't make out your third one.
The third one is 8.
8.
8 IBUs.
8 or 10?
Yes. 10, D is 10.
Fudge. Man, this is totally,
hard.
He said fudge.
10 seconds.
Yeah, I'm trying to cut back on my cursing. How about, let's say 10.
Is that your final answer?
That's my final answer.
You're correct. It's 10 IBUs.
Excellent.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is correct.
Kick ass.
Yeah.
You've gotten 2 out of 3. You only need one more to tie. And
only need one more to tie.
And two more to take the lead.
Two more to take the lead.
Yeah. Please pick another question.
16.
Number 16, okay.
Number 16.
This is not multiple choice.
Not multiple choice, all right.
The foamy residue on the inside of a glass of beer is called what?
Foamy residue? Okay.
It's not multiple choice.
Okay. Oh, it's not multiple choice. Then it's probably head.
The foamy residue.
My final answer is going to be head.
That is not correct. It's Belgian lace. It's the foamy residue that's left on the inside of a glass of beer, which is as you keep drinking it, that residue is left on the side of the glass. That's Belgian lace.
Not the other residue.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Caitlin. You can still tie with your final question.
Cut out that beeping.
Yeah. I'm going to have to take away the breathalyzer in a minute there.
Can you just shut them down?
I keep doing it, and then I turn it back on. And
no,
just
don't. What do we need them for?
Okay, Caleb, you get one last question. You can still tie, my friend.
All right. Number 15, I guess?
15's gone. 17 through 20. 5 and 6 are still there, and so is 3.
How about numero 18?
18 it is. Thank you, Dr. Vanna.
This
is not a multiple choice question.
Not a multiple choice, okay.
It is not. What brew is known as the champagne of bottled beers?
The champagne of bottled beers?
Yes. It's a slogan.
I'm thinking it's American.
5 seconds.
Miller? Is it Miller High Life? Yeah.
That's it. Miller High Life.
What?
You have now tied along with... Who was our first one to tie?
Henry.
Henry, thank you. You are now tied with Henry.
But it doesn't mean anything if the fourth contestant answers everything correctly.
That's correct.
All right. If, yeah, it's true.
You did a good job, though, Caleb. That was pretty
Miller
impressive.
High Life.
Way
you
to come
what?
Back.
One question, that was tough.
Yeah.
You were good, though, really. Yeah. Nice work.
I'm working it here.
Yeah, you pasted your lifeline there right in the perfect spot, right. I think.
I agree.
At this point, all it takes is a tie.
Yeah, yeah. Nice so now job. You're nice now job. Tied. If nobody else beats 3, or if another person gets 3, it doesn't matter. We will go to a second round. But if someone gets 4 or 5... You two both are knocked out.
But for those,
all right,
those,
all right. I understand. If someone gets 4 or 5, I'm done.
Thanks, Caleb.
For those upcoming contestants,
hang in there, buddy.
All right, thanks, man.
All right.
For those upcoming contestants, I am the most sober of the three of us.
By the way,
so I'm blowing like double the limit. Scott's a little over that.
What's he blowing?
He's like 1.8. I'm 1.6.
All right.
Scott's at 1.8.
And Jim?
And Jim is at like 2-1.
Oh, my
so,
God.
I'm not going home for a while, okay?
Very
Justin,
good.
Does that mean your room, beer okay? buddies are going to stay at our house tonight again?
Yes, ma'am.
Very good.
What is the name of our next contestant?
The name of our final contestant, the fourth one, is Jamie Navrotsky. Jamie, please call in. Also known as Brew Crew in a chat room.
888-401-BEER.
I said Brew Crew. Scott over there.
I thought you said Brew
Shut
Queen.
Him down. Shut him down.
He's down.
Thank you.
888-401-BEER. And this is the last contestant of the day. That was 3 already, huh? Goes by so quick, John.
Yeah. It's like life.
Yes, sir. It is just like life. John the Philosopher. We like to call him Sakra John every now and then. When we're not calling him Chicken Boy, of course.
Yeah, thanks, bud.
Caller, you're on the air. Our final contestant.
Hello?
Brew Crew?
Hey, what's going on, Justin?
How are you, my friend?
Not bad.
Are you feeling lucky?
Hoping you saved the easy ones for me.
We'll find out.
All right.
You do have questions here. You've got 3... I know. There's 3, 5, 6, 17, and 19.
There's only 5 left, right?
Correct. Sure. But you can pick them in whatever order you want.
I don't care. Just go.
Just grab one.
I like this attitude.
Doc just grabbed it.
Ow. You guys are so gay. It's unbelievable.
This one is not multiple choice. Are you ready?
Okay.
All right.
Sure.
The beer Tuborg comes from what country?
Wait, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Can you repeat that?
The beer Tuborg comes from what country? Tuborg.
I want to say Africa, but I think I'm going to use a lifeline because I'm not positive.
Okay, and which lifeline would you like to use? Ask Jamil or Jim, or ask the chat?
Let's go with Jamil.
Okay, Jamil. The beer Tuborg comes from what
Nobody
country?
Nobody trusts me. Nobody.
Yeah. Jim, in Jim's, in your defense, they don't know you. It's the first time on the show.
Thanks, Justin.
Hang in there.
I feel good. Thanks.
Yeah, he doesn't care. Jamil.
Look at Jamil.
Tuborg
what the
comes.
Hell? I'm like working here, man. I thought I'd come
Russia,
to drink
okay?
Beers.
What country, Jamil?
It's awesome.
Tuborg.
It's a Danish beer, isn't it?
Yes, it is. So what country would that be?
Russia.
Daneland.
You are correct. It comes from Daneland.
All right.
It's actually
ignorant Americans here.
It's Denmark. It comes from Denmark, and you are on the board, my friend.
Nice.
Nice.
All right, here we go. Your next question is, again, not multiple choice. Which German city is famous for its Rausch beer, or smoked beer?
Or also called Rauchbier.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
It's
no,
just
I don't
like
know.
Hearing Danielle talk.
You got a few seconds. You can throw out. It's which German city is famous for its Rausch beer? I would suggest naming. If you know one, name it.
Just throw out anything that sounds German.
My mind just went blank.
Anything.
I'm gonna have to stop it. It's Bamberg. I let you go 25 seconds. Sorry about that, Brew Crew. All right, we'll grab the next one here.
Tough one.
You're still in the running, my friend. Okay. This, again, is not multiple choice. It looks like you got stuck with the tough ones, my friend.
Wow.
All right.
Yeah, I was getting some of the other ones right, so I think you're right.
Yeah. What country owns the San Miguel brand?
What brand was that?
San Miguel. What country owns San Miguel?
I don't know this one either.
You got, I'll give you 10 seconds.
Yeah. I'll go with Mexico.
That is not correct. It's actually Spain. It's headquartered in Manila, but owned in Spain.
Jamie, you can still tie with the next two questions correct.
Okay.
Yep. You still can't tie if you get two right. Gonna again ask the studio audience to shut the fuck up.
FTP, can we take a break?
Yeah. I do too.
I'm sorry. Well, I heard all the wrong answers.
It's my fault. I confess.
And by the way, again, not a multiple choice question for you. Man, did you get the shit end, Brew Crew?
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. What country makes Dragon Stout?
Let's see. I'm gonna go with Russia.
It's actually Jamaica.
Jamaica.
Oh, Jamaica.
Yeah, Jamaica makes Dragon Stout. The reviews I've never had it. The reviews I read were that it wasn't the greatest stout on the planet. I'll just say that.
Oh, but you like Red Stripe?
But I do like Red Stripe, actually. I don't mind a little Red Stripe on a hot day. And I am afraid that that takes you out of the running.
It does, unfortunately.
Like my qualifier at the end there. Brew Crew, hey, I'm sorry you got the ass end of those questions, man.
Hey, no problem, man. Thanks
for
letting
me play. That's how we made it fair.
Good work, anyway. Thanks, man.
All right, talk to you
later. Funny how everything involves ass on the show.
Because everybody's got one.
All right, we got two people left.
And we're going to have to do a tiebreaker round.
We will.
Okay. Here's what we're going to have to do for that, and I apologize, this is the way it's going to have to go. We're just going to take a real short break so that we can get the 10 questions ready for our two finalists.
Exactly.
And I really do feel bad for the guys who got knocked out. I can't help it because I remember bottling. And
I know.
You remember being picked last
for
the team.
You know what? The good thing is if you haven't won anything yet, you can play with our other games that are to come up this year. There's more stuff
that's
given away, and it's great stuff.
It's true. We are giving away a bunch of other stuff, and you still can't call back. And
absolutely.
I will not eliminate you just because you qualified for this
you?
One. I'll only eliminate the winners.
Exactly. Yeah. But the ones who haven't won yet, they can totally come back. And maybe the prize they're going to be just as cool.
It's true. I just,
and they
you
win
know,
something, too, and they've done a good job, and I really appreciate them playing, and so it's cool.
Try.
Don't feel bad, and don't cry.
Please announce our two finalists, by the way.
Our two finalists are Henry, also known as Trouble Brewing, and Kegless Caleb.
Kegless Caleb? Really? Oh, that's right. He did tie. I'm like,
I'm sorry.
I didn't mean to lose faith in you, buddy. I just forgot. We'll be right back. It's the Brewing Network. We'll do the final round here. Hopefully, unless they tie again, then we're going to have to go to another one.
Who knows?
All right. We'll be right back. Thanks for tuning in.
And now, back to three guys with absolutely nothing better to do. The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Wow, lots of peeing had to go on during that break. It was a long show, right? Like, everyone's got to really let it out. All right.
Am I up? All right. That's good.
Is this thing on?
Is this thing on, Dan?
Hello.
Everybody having a good time with our game, courtesy of Northern Brewer at northernbrewer.com. We're playing Who Wants to Build a Kegerator, and we've only got two finalists. Now, Daniela, we're going to have to draw names again, right? Just draw one of the two. It's a 50-50 chance. Why don't we do... anybody got a quarter in their pocket? Let's flip a coin this time. You want to do that?
Mm-hmm.
All right, anybody got a quarter? No quarters? Nothing.
A
bunch of broke bastards.
Oh, yeah, bottle cap.
Want to flip a cap? Okay.
Broke back quarterback.
Here's what we go. Now, who's our two contestants, Danielle? I know it's Kegless Caleb and it's Henry, right?
Yep. Right, but John has to decide who is who.
Yeah, which one gets which part of the bottle cap?
Caleb gets the top, the MH.
Okay, the actual, the finished side is what Caleb gets, and the part that will be actually clamped to the bottle is what Henry gets. Please flip it and land it on the desk, and then we'll figure it out. It's the finished, it's the unfinished side up.
So that's Henry?
That's Henry. Henry, please call in. You get to choose first. 888-401-BEER. And you're playing Who Wants to Build a Kegerator, courtesy of northernbrewer.com. I'm excited. This is our first big prize that we've given away here on the show.
What do you mean, big prize?
Well, it's a really good one. It's a kegging system,
for
heaven's
sake. Yeah, but the other prizes were good, too.
Oh, sure, they're great, but it's not a kegging system,
is
it?
You're a douchebag.
What's wrong with you? All of a sudden, I'm turning you off. I'm turning Doc back on, and I'm turning Daniela off.
Am I still on? I think the big prize, we send Daniela out to the Midwest.
That's right. That's the big, big prize. I mean, they're crazy, but at least they're nice. You all of a sudden, you go take a pee and turn on me in like 3 seconds. Boy, oh boy.
We all hate you. She's just
trying to keep you straight, man.
She's just helping you guys out. 888-401-BEER. Henry, give us a call because you got to play. You're in the finals here up against
Pay to play, baby.
We've got 10 questions left. Hope we don't have to go to a third round, but you never do know. You never do know. We could have to do it. We got Henry coming on the phone right now. Or at least he's getting on the phone.
Isn't the third round face-to-face against one of us?
Yeah, we're going to fly him in, Doc. On your card, by
no,
the way.
No, we can do this, like, on the air, face-to-face.
Henry, are you there, buddy?
I'm here.
How you feeling now?
Oh, man, I'm loaded.
What's up?
Attaboy. Well, ain't going to happen, baby.
Well, you're in the finals. And
all right.
You've got first pick. If it goes like the last round, the person who got the last five questions really kind of got the tough ones.
Yeah, they get the baggers.
But it is completely random. We had a second round of questions, and it's totally random. It's 1 through 10. Please pick your question, Henry.
It's random, madam.
2.
All right, number 2. Dr. Vanna hands me number
Excellent.
2. And
glad to help.
This question is not multiple choice. What country has the most individual brands of beer? What country
Belgium.
Has the most... That is correct. Belgium is the right answer. And
Woo!
go ahead, pick another one.
4.
Number 4. All right, here we go.
Where's the sound?
Which sound?
The exciting sound.
I did it before the question. I just didn't do it after the question. And please remember, you still get a lifeline this round as well. You're doing 5
cool.
questions, and you still get a lifeline. This question is multiple choice. If you want to have a local beer in Thailand, which of these would you choose? Sapporo, Tsingtao, Tiger, or Singha?
It's not the first two. What are the last two again?
Tiger or Singha?
Singha.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
You're correct.
Wow.
That's 2 out of 2, my friend. Please pick another one.
I'll go with the even. 6.
Number 6. Thank you, Vanna Doc.
You know why? Because I'm not odd.
Another multiple choice for you. If you're in the mood for a smooth, caramelly dark beer, your best beer style would be Helles, Witbier, Dortmunder, or Dunkel?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know this one. I'll go with Jamil.
All right. Choosing a lifeline, Jamil. Helles, Witbier, Dortmunder, or Dunkel?
Well, let me tell you about the price I get for ramen at the store, Justin.
How come I never get picked? What's going on here?
Justin, you bitch.
Jamil's the king.
Yeah, well, thanks a lot.
Poor Henry's on his toes, and Jamil's got to drag it out for the guy.
Have I gotten one wrong tonight?
You've not.
No.
I got Scott and Jim feed me answers. I can't go wrong.
At least he's honest.
Yeah, that's true.
I would go with Dunkel on that bad boy.
Dunkel is correct.
Yeah!
Henry is now 3-for-3. Caleb's got his work cut out for him. Please pick another number.
Just to give a kudos to Jim, he's been right on every one, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Jamil's the Pope.
Don't.
Jamil is the Pope.
I'm okay, Jim.
What about me?
Number 8. You knew the questions. That's why you're not a lifeline, John. It's the only reason. Although I don't know your Jeopardy performance. I don't know. You would have been picked. This one is not multiple choice, Henry, okay?
All right.
What is the oldest brewery in the world?
The oldest brewery in the world?
Yes.
Wow.
Whew.
Coming up on 10 seconds.
Budweisen?
Sorry?
Budweisen?
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
No, Daniela, please give us the oldest brewery in the world.
Weinstephan.
Weinstephan. Yes. Say, you're still working on 3 out of 5. Your final question.
He's working on 4 out of 5, right, John?
He's got three out of 5. He's got 3 out of 5
yeah, but he's
so far.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
He's working on,
Thank you, Henry. Hey, at least he's, someone's helping me out over here. For
Whatever.
Please, pick your final question.
He did say working on.
10.
10.
All right.
Here we go. This one is multiple choice. Pull tabs were invented in 1942, 1952, 1962, or 1972?
1962.
Final answer?
Yes.
You are correct.
Wow,
that's
4 out of 5
for Henry, working on getting that Northern Brewer kegging system, and Caleb has his work cut out for him.
His ass must be sweating now.
Now we might have to go for
Henry.
He could tie. He also could win if he gets 5 out of 5, and then we'll have to go to a third round.
Wow.
Hey, Henry, nice work, man.
Thank you.
All right.
If he wins, I will give him a prize myself.
Because that was a hell of a performance, man.
Woo!
Baby.
Right. Right here on Who Wants to Build a Kegerator, Henry just got 4 out of 5. Thanks, buddy. Hang in there.
Thank you.
All right. Bye. Caleb, please call 888-401-BEER. You will be our final contestant here on Who Wants to Build a Kegerator. And you, my friend, have your work cut out for you. 4 out of 5.
We're all naked.
We can't take it anymore.
That's how excited the studio is about giving away a kegging system.
Yeah, we're looking at things. We're rubbing this thing.
Well, wait till the day that we can actually afford to give away, or we get, just great sponsors to give away, one of those all-grain systems, one of those super systems.
Oh, yeah.
What about a conical?
You think we're excited
stainless
now?
Ooh, baby, stainless. Ooh.
Yeah, Hummer's easy to give away. Justin will take care of that.
All right.
He just knocked me over the head and give mine away.
Okay. We got Caleb calling in here. Kegless Caleb.
Yay, man.
Hey, your work's cut out for you, man.
No shit. That was impressive.
Dude, you can do this. You can do this.
That was good.
Henry did not bring up wheat.
You know what? I'm confident. We're gonna kick some ass.
These are random questions. You can do this, dude.
Okay.
Is that Doc in here?
That's Doc.
If he's on my side, I got nothing to worry about.
Caleb, I'm on your side too, man. This is Jim
Jim's
Ross.
With you.
I'm naked,
I know
I'm ready for you, babe. Let's go, baby. Bring it.
Golden palette.
All right, let's go.
Do you want them just at random? There's only 5 left.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Okay. I got to get them all, right?
Okay. The first one is multiple choice.
Multiple choice, okay.
An ale Connor was A, an official beer taster, B, an ale seller, C, a large ale mug, or D, a beer thief. An ale Connor.
An ale Connor.
Yes.
It's either, can you repeat the questions again?
Official beer taster, official ale seller, taster. Large ale mug, or a beer thief?
Or a beer thief.
I give you 10 seconds. You do have a lifeline.
I'm going to say...
Final answer, please. I'm going to stop it. Final
seller.
Answer.
Seller.
It's actually an official beer taster.
Beer taster. Damn it.
It's an official beer taster. You can still tie and bring it to round three.
Henry's licking his lips right now.
You're not out yet.
I don't mean to put the pressure on, but you need now to answer the rest of your four questions to
tie.
You
know, multiple choices are tough.
You have lifelines. Lifeline.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. Your next question is also a multiple choice question.
All right.
Which was the first American brewery to package beer in cans? Was it A, Anheuser-Busch, B, Yuengling, C, G. Kruger Brewing Company, or D, Pabst?
I'm going to say Pabst.
Final answer?
Oh, God, it hurts. Yeah.
Come on.
Damn it!
It's actually the G. Kruger Brewing Company was the first one.
Henry won.
Congratulations, Henry.
Henry won. Hey, and
very good job, Henry.
He did.
I'll tell you what. Kegless Caleb comes in after he gets a second chance even at being in the Final Four. Comes in and makes it to the finals. Good show, my friend.
You know what? I sucked. I didn't represent.
Hey, you did in the first round. That was all right.
If
you made
I had
a nice
my
comeback.
Mom call in.
That's right. I told you you have to do that, didn't I? I'd make you like our official drunk.
If it's still up, man, I could arouse her and get her going.
Hey, there's always next week. I don't want you to arouse your mom, but there's always next week to get her to call in.
You want her?
All right.
Thanks, Caleb.
Damn it! All right. Well, I guess we'll remain as Cakeless Caleb.
But. Yes, you will. Just like I want it. Sorry to have put that jinx on you. I just love the name.
That's all right, Justin.
All right. Kegless Caleb, great show, man.
Thanks a lot.
All right,
buddy. An applause now for Henry.
Henry! Oh, yeah!
Henry, please call us back, 888-401-BEER. We're going to give you the final word of the show today because we're going to get out of here and we just want to...
Are we going
to
draw, though, the three prizes for the three people real quick, what they win?
Let's do that while we're waiting
Okay, John,
for,
so announce the first prize. Who is going to win what?
What are they going to win? An ingredient kit.
Ingredient kit goes to...
The chicken.
So this one's for the ingredient kit?
Doc, shut up for a second.
Jim Rossi!
Frank.
Okay.
Frank, you just won an ingredient kit courtesy of Northern Brewer. They're going to ship the whole thing. It includes a vial of yeast, and they're going to send that out to you. Please send your information to both John and Daniela.
Jamie gets a $20 gift certificate.
Jamie, a $20 gift certificate to Northern Brewer. And the final one is going to be a T-shirt from us. And we don't know what shirt you're getting yet, but...
Caleb is getting a B3 T-shirt.
Caleb gets the B3 T-shirt, or not a B3 T-shirt, whatever shirt we end up getting to you. We'll see what it's going to be, Caleb. Just for playing, you get that the T-shirt win.
It's a shame Northern Brewer didn't call in, because... You know, I spent some weeks out in Minnesota for work, and it was -4 degrees. It was January, and I got a chance to swing by the Northern Brewer shop, and it's a real nice, clean shop, and really good guys there. And Kurt Stock was there, who's just one of the most loving, kind guys out there. Brews great beer, great mead. He just won Mead Maker of the Year,
nice,
along with his wife. I was there a few years ago, and I was asking, hey, where's a good place to go? I bought a few things there, and they're like, well, try our beer. And I think Kurt gave me his Russian Imperial Stout. They called a cab to take me out to Barley John's, which is out in the middle of nowhere.
Okay.
A tiny little place. and the brewer there was great. And then one of the customers gave me a ride back to my hotel, like a 30-minute ride. And it just the most wonderful people out there.
Okay.
Wonderful place to do business with. They're not going to steer you wrong. They're going to take care of you.
It's a good company.
It's just a wonderful group of people, and yeah. You need to have some experience with them. You'll realize how great they are.
Yeah, they are. They're really a good company, and they've been great the whole time we've done this sponsorship, the keg giveaway. They've been real good to us, and hopefully we helped them out as much as they helped us out. And just a lot of fun that we've had. Each week we've gotten to do a different contest to get people qualified to win this kegging system, and then to have it culminate right here to actually be able to give it to somebody who's sick of bottling. Just props to Northern Brewer and to everybody who competed and played and tried to win. You guys have all been very cool. I think in just a month from now, we've got another good giveaway for you, so stick around.
So if you won something tonight, shoot an email back to Northern Brewer. Yeah. Let them know you listen to us. Let them know that you appreciate everything. They're awesome. I've used them. Things come quick.
Yeah.
Things are great.
Good shipping.
Just let them know that you appreciate them.
Hey, Henry, you there,
yeah.
Buddy? You are now the proud owner of a kegging system.
All right.
Freaking out.
That's right. Thanks to Northern Brewer, the Brewing Network has just saved you close to $200, man.
Nice.
Cool.
And not only that, more importantly than the cash, and I mean this, like, sincerely, more important than the cash, we just saved you a hell of a lot of time every time you got a bottle. A hell of a lot of effort. Oh, you did? Oh, so
yeah.
You're even feeling, like, the freshness of the bottling disaster.
You know, I only have one thing to put on keg, and it's an 11%. Chimay Blue.
All right.
Nice.
So I will enjoy that.
Oh, man, that is cool. Now, you will have to get yourself a kegerator, you know.
That's fine. I can do that.
Okay. I'll be posting up Doc's description of how to do it right after the show. I'm going to put that up there. So if you want to get a little help building it, you can check out that reference.
I appreciate that.
It'll be on the Doc's Gadget section. That's for all of you out there. Kegless Caleb 2, in case you get out there and buy your own kegging system. It's a good description of how to build a nice kegging system at home.
I just want to say that everyone was a great... great competitor, and everyone was really, really pleasant to deal with.
Yeah.
And,
they were all bitches. Come on, admit it, Henry. Come on.
And picking the, even numbers to help me out.
That's what it was. That was your secret?
Yeah, that was a secret.
Thanks for using me as a lifeline, too. I appreciate that.
If I didn't write down the numbers I was taking, there was no way in hell I was going to remember what they were.
Yeah, that's true. You just, the random even number thing worked for you. I'll tell you, it's no coincidence that you athletes competed today on the same weekend that the Olympics started, by the way. The beer Olympics, in a sense, we've had here, and some of the greatest athletes I know are homebrewers. Athletes like Henry here, who's taken home the gold today.
Not to mention... Who's in the studio today?
That's right. We got an all-star lineup. And I'll tell you, as much as I feel bad for the guys, I'm happy for you, Henry. I think this is awesome, and I hope you enjoy it.
Well, can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
Since Jameel saved my ass,
yeah.
What is his favorite beer?
What's your favorite beer, Jameel?
Jim Rossi's Honey Pale.
Well, something I can make. Come
yeah,
on.
Okay.
You know, any beer well
Jim
made.
Jim Rossi makes.
Any beer well made is great. You know, there's no specific style.
Okay.
Just all right. You know, the best made beer is wonderful. They're all great.
The best your best beer, Henry. Just send him that.
I will do that.
All right, and that's cool. That's a good little piece of appreciation. And I will just say that we contacted Jameel earlier this week just to come help out with this because we thought it'd be a lot of fun to have that
God.
Kind of a lifeline.
Thank
and.
God.
And he's got a lot of things going on. He's back here tomorrow morning doing the Jameel show. He's got, like, how long of a drive is it? A couple hours or something?
Yeah,
hour?
It's close to 100 miles.
100 miles the guy drives down here just to do the lifeline thing
good
for
God.
Us. And Jameel, I appreciate it, and obviously so does Henry. So
well,
thank
and the
you.
Beer from Dr. Scott and Jim didn't hurt.
That's so. Right. That was a good, I'll tell you what, if Jim didn't bring down that cooler full of beer we're going to keep drinking, that might not have happened, too. So,
well, I'll tell you what, I'll send you some of my Fat Tire Amber, and hopefully it doesn't taste like ass.
No, I love Fat Tire. It's a great beer.
All right.
If you can make a clone of Fat Tire, it's a great beer.
All right, I'll send some.
Henry, here's what I want you to do. I want you to send an email with your information to John P. at thebrewingnetwork.com. I want you to CC Daniela at thebrewingnetwork.com and me too, Justin at thebrewingnetwork.com. I just want to make sure everybody got the information and we get you your kegging system as soon as possible.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Hey, good job, man.
Congrats.
Congratulations.
Man. Good job, John.
All right, buddy. We'll see you.
Can I say one more thing?
Absolutely.
Daniela's hot.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Herbie.
All right, buddy. Enjoy the system.
Well, I will.
All right. We'll see you.
Take care.
All right. There you go. Northern Brewer, thank you very much for giving us a happy listener right there. And to all our other contestants, good work. All 12 that called in each week. We made you guys do crazy things, call in and sing songs and call in as the drunk of the week and do in person. I mean, we made you do a bunch of stuff. And good
it
work.
All, it all works out.
That's right. And you know, the show is fun because of that kind of stuff and you guys willing to do it. So that was cool. John, what do we got lined up for next week?
Who do we have? Magnolia Brew Pub, cask condition show, English style beers, and David McLean is his name? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Dave McLean from Magnolia.
Right.
Jim Rossi will be back again, as usual. He'll be here for the next 12 months.
He'll be feeding me food while I talk about cask condition ales.
He's never going to leave. He's here forever.
Yeah. I don't think that Jim's even going to leave the seat, actually.
No, I'm here. I'm back. And by the way, Jamil has a great voice for radio. I swear, I love listening to it, man. He just got like, he just comes in and he's like, yeah, the IPA should be up.
Gosh, those guys holding your penises. Can we get out of here now?
He's got it, though. 9.2%.
Somebody give me shit.
The hops should be medium bone.
Beer's already.
Soda.
You know,
this is great.
Jim comes
dude.
In, starts giving me shit.
He's great. He's got that. I'm complimenting you, dude. You got this great voice. And Scott just sounds like he's just stoned out of his mind. But, you know, hey, whatever.
Freak it out. But I know what I'm talking about.
You do. You do, dude. You answered every question tonight. We were all riding on your
quite a trio, by the way.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll be back next week with Magnolia. We'll let you know what the tasting is here in a couple days. We already know what it is. Actually, we'll probably post pretty early. And thanks to Jim Rossi for coming in and hanging out with us. Really appreciate it. And great beer, by the way. I appreciate
thank
that, too. And
check
out the archive right there at thebrewingnetwork.com. Thanks again to Northern Brewer. We're wrapping up the competition finally, and it was a lot of fun.
See ya.
We'll see you next week.
over there. I'm